If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
How come some people get cat and some people get chrysanthemum?
Say that again?
Some people get cat. I mean, if you're in a spelling bee, they say, how do you spell cat? C-A-T.
Yeah.
And, okay, the next, who wants to be next? Deuce Davis said, I want to be next. And the teacher said, okay, how do you spell chrysanthemum?
Now, that one is beyond me. I have no idea.
What? He sure is cool, isn't he?
Wrong. Try again, dumbass.
If the spirits cause you to become lost in the jungle, what should you do to find your way home? I don't know.
This is it.
This is it.
This is what we're talking about.
And now,
let's go! Keep up that intensity! Let's go! Let's go!
Our feature presentation.
What's that guy's name, that old dude?
Rudy.
Rudy.
I love Rudy. I'll never forget him.
Survivor.
I don't know.
It was the first season, right, in Survivor?
I believe so.
And he was like 85.
And so cranky.
Just cranky
and
old.
And he hated everyone on that show.
Hated everyone, was miserable. Yep. Well, I mean, when you're put in that kind of a situation where you're not eating right and you can't sleep
I'd
right.
I'd be the worst.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Right.
Is your personality, the worst of
you
would come out.
Yeah, exactly.
But
exactly.
He was awesome. He was barely alive during that one.
I think he's still alive, right?
I don't know.
I haven't heard that Rudy died.
I don't know.
It's too hard for his old brain.
Oh, I just love that guy. Just old and cranky mm-hmm. and didn't mind like letting everybody know he was old and cranky. Didn't try to make it
Some
any better.
Old people. I told the story off the air the other day. I was at the Geffen Theater in the small theater over the weekend. And an old lady yells out during the show, I can't hear you! Louder!
She said that during the show?
During the play. To Carole Kane.
Are you
on stage.
Kidding?
It's the funniest thing I've ever heard. But there are some people when they hit a certain age, I think, where they just think, F it. I'm old. I can do and say whatever I want, and
right.
I don't care.
But those people, like, when they were 50, there's no way they would have thought of yelling
no,
out in the middle of a...
it's never a 50-year-old.
Wow.
It's the 70-year-old or the 80-year-old.
Old people need to go. That's what I'm saying.
On.
There needs to be, listen, there needs to be an old people island, and we just send them there.
Yeah, they could be together.
Right. They could hang
out. I
think
it's called Sun City.
They could hang out. They could yell at each other about stuff not being loud enough. You know, that would be perfect. All right, let's get started with your phone calls, 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
And let's see. The price today is a pair of tickets to Strike Force Live on Wednesday, June 16th at the Nokia Theater, LA Live. All right, let's begin with, where should we start here today? Let's begin with Eddie. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, good morning. What did you do, guys?
What did it do?
What did it do?
Did you guys happen to see the Orlando Magic game last night?
Magic Celtics? I watched part of it.
Yeah, well, there was an incident that happened around halftime where there's this fan that was kind of heckling the refs. One of the refs ended up throwing a ball towards that fan, hitting him. The ref, the fan actually throws the ball back to the ref, and they ended up ejecting the fan.
What?
You're kidding.
Did you see that, Mike?
No.
The ref threw the ball at a fan.
Right. Then the fan, he obviously caught it. He kind of almost hit him in the head, and he kind of caught it, and he threw it back at the ref.
Did he throw it back hard, like to hurt him?
Well, not too hard, but he just kind of threw it back at him. The guy was kind of surprised, like, hey, what's going on? And they ended up ejecting the fan, so...
But not the ref. They didn't. Nothing happened to the. They're going to have to find the ref. You can't throw a ball at a fan.
Yeah, something's going to have to happen. But I saw that. I don't think it was really on air, but I saw it afterwards. I was watching the weekend.
That's bizarre.
That's
you don't ever see that out of a referee.
No.
I've never seen that out of the referee. So.
Wow.
I want to see that happen in the Laker game tonight with Jack. Just Jack Nicholson, just catch a ball from the ref, rifle it back at the ref.
Yeah, but the ref's not going to throw it at Jack Nicholson.
No.
You know, no way.
But that would make for an interesting basketball
game. It would, yeah. And if he stormed the court, if he just ran after him, tackled him. Yeah, that's bizarre. You don't see that from referees ever. There was one time when I was lucky enough to sit down on the floor for a Laker game, and I was yelling at the ref, like you always do. Ah, he's all over him, blah, 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 blah.
And the ref turned and looked at me and said, "No, he's not." And I was like, and I was so shocked because, you know, that's them out there and we're in the stands,
right.
And there's no real interaction. Yeah. You yell as much as you want, you don't get the attention of
I'm
people.
Always shocked at all professional sports referees and umpires at how calm and how in control of their emotions they can be, but even more so with NBA refs because, like Kevin said, they're so accessible,
yeah.
Not only by the fans, but the players. They're right in the mix. And there's these big monsters that are yelling at them and, you know, they're disagreeing with calls and stuff, and they're always just calm, cool, collected. I'm always impressed by that.
Yeah. He threw a ball. That's awesome. I like that
he
guy.
He lost it.
Let's go to Jimmy. Hi, Jimmy.
Hi. What'd it do, nephew?
What'd it do?
Last night my buddy calls me up and tells me to come over his house to look at his new tattoo. So I went down there and in big old English letters that said Rodriguez. I said, something's missing, the E in the Rodriguez.
No.
He spelled it wrong?
Really?
They spelled the name wrong. They left the E out, and now I call him Rodriguez.
Oh, that's the best.
Rodriguez.
There's nothing better than poorly spelled tattoos.
That's hilarious.
Tell the Gavin Rossdale story. That's the best.
We were doing Breakfast with Bush in 90, whenever they were big. And Gavin Rossdale, of course, is the lead singer. And one of the fans got up, and she was almost crying. I mean, literally, she was so excited to see him, and he was her hero and everything, and she just wanted to tell him, "I got your tattoo, and I have it right here." And I looked at it, and it was spelled Galvin. And I said, "You know, his name is Gavin. It's not Galvin." And she was like, "Oh, no." Like, she had no idea that she had it misspelled until that moment.
Her world crumbled.
So sad.
Yeah. It was so funny, though. Come on, let's be honest. Yeah, it's the guy you worship and you get it spelled wrong. That's so funny. Let's go to Henry. Hi, Henry.
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby?
What it do?
What it do, baby? What's going on?
Over the weekend, my friend set me up with a blind date. So I met this chick at the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And she was cute. She was beautiful. And I was wondering, like, hey, why is she single? So I was like, whatever. We sat down. And, you know, I went to use the restroom, so I got up, and on the way back to the table, I saw that she was picking her nose. And I'm like, all right, whatever, her nose is itching.
Yeah, if she's hot, you give her a pass.
Yeah, so, and then I saw her taking the booger out, and she ate it.
Nope, that didn't happen.
That did not happen. I just left.
Wait. Here's the funny part, and this is always what we try to focus on. You didn't sit down and finish dinner.
No. We hadn't even ordered yet.
You just walked out.
Yes. I couldn't say. Sorry.
Did you tell her anything? Did you say anything? Did you say I had an emergency?
No, she didn't even see me leave.
Wow.
Really? Oh, my God.
Well, don't eat your boogers at dinner. I mean, I think that's pretty good advice.
I just didn't think adults did that.
Oh, sure.
That's somehow you grow out of that.
Especially in public.
Oh, my God.
You spend enough time on the freeways, Lisa May. You know that adults still eat their boogers.
Oh, God.
Really, honestly, on the freeway, there's a lot of digging going on. And there is. It's like,
I know the digging. I don't know the eating.
A lot of snacking.
There is a lot of snacking. People are hungry. Who knows what's going on, you know? Let's go to Josh. Hi, Josh.
Hello. What it do, nephew? What it do, baby?
What's going on?
Hey, yeah, I know. I go hiking like twice a week in between Chino Hills and Cleveland National Forest. And today I'm going up and totally bust some dude peeping up, two people going at it in a car. And so, it was freaking...
So a couple was in a car having sex, and then there was another guy watching them.
Another guy watched them, and the hilarious part about it was the dude had a huge, huge red afro, bright red afro. So it's like he was hiding his body, but his afro was still poking out like a big red beacon, you know. It was like a fat guy hanging out behind a crackhead. It was so hilarious.
Nice. I like it.
And go ahead.
Did you join in the watching?
Well, no, I got a glance at it, but the windows were foggy anyways. You see somebody's foot up on it, but it was just a glance because he saw me, and I don't know what he was doing, but I don't think he was actually doing anything. I think he was just watching, but he saw me and just kind of did the creepy look and then kind of just walked down to the, walk his dame down. I don't know.
All right. Thank you for the call. It's a little gross. Hey, Dewan's on the phone.
Yeah.
Hey, Dewan.
Hi, Dewan.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. What'd it do?
Yeah, I saw the last episode, 90210, the season finale. I was filled bad and sad.
Oh, last night was the season finale?
Yeah, Annie finally told her parents the truth, what she did. She killed Jasper's uncle, and then Jasper set Liam's boat on fire.
Okay.
Yeah, Liam got very angry at him.
I don't watch the show, but it sounds pretty wild.
Ryan Matthews got drunk.
Oh, no. You don't like that.
Yeah, and Naomi got raped by that same teacher that she lied about having an affair with her.
Wow, a lot's going on that show.
Yeah.
I had no idea, but you're bummed now that it's over, huh?
Yeah, they are having a season 3 coming up in September 2010. I cannot wait for that.
All right. Well, you're going to have to wait a little bit, but at least you have that to look forward to.
Yeah.
A lot of shows getting canceled. So, you know, they don't even have a chance to have another season. True. But this one sounds like they need it with all that going on.
Law and Order's going to cancel this year because it's been on for 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I really want to meet the 90210 stars someday.
Right. Right. Remember when we had... Yeah, never mind.
Right. Yeah. I just emailed you last night.
Oh, you did? To tell us that you wanted to meet them?
No, about something else.
Okay. All right.
Is it private?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, we'll check the email.
Okay. And I emailed Alex, too.
You did. Okay.
All right, good.
All right. We'll all check our email and see what it was about, all right?
No problem at all, dude.
All right, dude. I'm sorry 90210 is over for the season. It always sucks when the show you're really into has its finale, and then you have to wait for a couple of months.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Duan.
You'd never know that the finale for 90210 was last night because Duan didn't, you know, text his friends or put it on Twitter or email people about it at all.
And by saying he didn't, you mean he did?
I mean maybe 5,000 times of each form of media.
Just tend to put the word out.
Yeah.
That does happen.
I sure hope he sent Alex nude pictures.
All right, let's, as do I, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bicho, shall we? We are going to get into the biggest lie you ever told and got caught. Because this chick that said she was going to UCLA for 2 years. 2 years she told her parents.
And I believe she was living at home. So every day. And my question, too, is someone's paying for school. I'm guessing it's not her.
Yeah, you would think.
Where's that money? I mean, this is, what's she been doing?
2 years she told her parents she was going to UCLA. And then it got to be, around graduation time.
Yeah.
And her parents started making plans. And she said she was kidnapped. And
She disappeared. I think they thought she went hiking or running or something. And she just disappeared.
Yeah.
And then she showed up in Merced, I think. And
yeah,
said
like a
someone,
furniture store.
Yeah, someone had put a knife, but... But her story fell apart
very so
quickly.
Bizarre.
She just freaked out.
But you know, for those 2 years, she had to be thinking, I'm going to have to come up with something.
I know.
That's the best she could come up with. She had 2 years to plan. But anyway, biggest lies you told and got caught at. We have Ryan Single from Wired Magazine, who's going to tell you the big Facebook controversy, what they're doing with all your information on Facebook. A lot of people are very upset about this.
Yeah, I want to hear more. I'm curious.
Some of the information that you're giving them, apparently they might be selling to other parties.
That is not cool.
Which is not really what you're looking for.
No.
We're going to get a Glee cap. Omar is going to recap Glee from last night.
Can't wait.
I didn't watch the whole thing. Did you watch it?
I didn't. Mm. I wait for Omar now.
I was watching hockey, and then I was taping Lost, and then I fell asleep, and then I didn't get through Lost. So now I don't know what happened. So now I'm going to have to catch up between now and Sunday,
yeah,
which is the series finale. But did you watch Lost?
I don't watch Lost anymore. Lost me. All the right. Funny thing to me about Omar is... I like to listen to him before I watch the show now because it sounds so crappy. And then when I actually go watch it, it makes perfect sense.
It's not that bad.
It's not bad at all.
Yeah,
it's great.
Bradley Whitford will be on the program today. He's one of the stars of The Good Guys, new TV show that debuts tonight.
Used to be on The West Wing.
Used to be on The West Wing. Great on that. And Kevin Smith will be in the studio today.
Woo!
Plus, we've got your tickets to the Weenie Roast coming up on The Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. This is The Kevin and Bean Show, and it's time for a look at the Showbiz Beat. Lindsay Lohan wants the world to believe that she is coming back. She's on her way back. She's got everything in place. She was at the Cannes Film Festival talking to some movie heavyweights, as she puts it.
Oh, she was networking?
Oh, she was networking, yes. But apparently this volcano in Iceland keeps spewing ash over London.
Yeah.
So she's not going to get back to Los Angeles in time to meet the judge, which she has to do.
Sure, Ralph couldn't have thought of that.
What a shame, because she would have been back in time.
She would have been, yes. Ralph reported on this yesterday. The judge apparently now is saying that if she doesn't show, an arrest warrant will be put in place. But at least she's got all of her stuff done. I mean, at least the court-ordered mandates, like the alcohol education classes. Oh, wait, no, she hasn't done those, has she? No. She hasn't finished those. People.com says as of May 4th, Lindsay had attended 17 of 26 Alcoholic Anonymous meetings.
Dude, she had to go network. I can't.
Mike, how many of those can you go to a week?
Alcohol.
A day.
I was going to say you can go to four a day if you're, you know, committed.
So if she has to, she could literally
knock that out.
Just cram for.
In a week,
cram
probably.
For it. Just come back and just do the rest of them. And
she's
like
accustomed to cramming.
In a day and a, in a, day and a half. She also has attended 19 of 26 group sessions. She's got all kinds of different stuff that the court said you have to do. And she said,
at least she's already working on a seven-month extension from when she was supposed to have all of this done.
Yeah, but she's not able to come back because of the Iceland thing. So she's going to miss court. And judges, I don't know if you know judges. I know a few judges.
Yeah.
They don't have a very good sense of humor. They're not very patient.
Yeah.
They don't really care that there's a volcano.
I got to tell you, she's kind of tested any patience they might have.
Yeah, she has used up whatever goodwill there might be there. Yeah.
Seems like.
Mickey Rourke doesn't have a lot of friends in Hollywood.
Oh.
Of course, the star of Iron Man 2, who had bad teeth. Have you seen his teeth?
They are the worst.
He needs some dental work.
He does love a toothpick, too.
He tells Us Weekly magazine that just because a movie makes $200 million, that doesn't make the star any better. They still suck. Mickey Rourke says about actors and actresses.
Yeah, in Entertainment Weekly, he came down really hard on most actors, saying they don't prepare. They're really most of them are just crappy, and just because they're famous doesn't mean they're good. No wonder he has no friends.
Yeah, maybe that's the problem right there.
It could be.
I mean, he seems like he's a mess. Is he a mess in real life?
Yeah.
Do you guys know Mickey Rourke?
Oh yeah,
he's a mess. But I don't know.
There was that. You know, 20-year void in his career because of his kind of his mental setup. I mean, the guy's got serious problems.
Yeah, that whole dog thing.
Yeah, all he has is his dogs and his face. Let's not, you know,
there is that.
Overlook that.
Charlie Sheen should be excited because the rumor yesterday was that CBS is going to pay him nearly $2 million an episode.
Yeah.
But there's still the assault charge racked up at Christmas. Remember when that happened? He still has to go to a court for that. So a source close to the situation tells Us Weekly that he has his lawyers hammering out a plea bargain that would have him serve 45 days behind bars. His fear? He won't have cigarettes. And he can't imagine going 45 days without cigarettes.
Wow.
And I'm here to tell you, from what I hear, I've not been in prison. There are ways to get cigarettes in prison. There are ways.
You should be okay.
If you're desperate to get a cigarette in prison, it can happen.
Right? I also think it helps if you're famous and in prison. Don't
Could
you
be.
Think?
Yeah.
Could be, but that's not what you have to do to get cigarettes is be famous. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Okay, but
what I'm saying is maybe since he is famous, he won't have to do that. It's possible.
Do you... You've clearly never been in prison either.
No, but I heard about a rapper that went to prison and was greeted like a god. You know, everyone loved him and he signed autographs. And...
But a hip-hop, like a street cred-filled rapper might be treated
Charlie
a little differently in a California state penitentiary than Charlie Sheen, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Maybe.
It's like Tommy Chong lived like a god in jail.
Right.
Charlie Sheen is a highfalutin white dude with a bad attitude, might not go over too well.
He might be fine, you know, as far as star power and everything else, but Tommy Chong didn't have to have cigarettes. If you have to have cigarettes...
Well, that's true.
It's knee time. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, fool, I saw you in Major League. I love that movie. Grab your ankle, dog.
Imagine what he'd have to do for one cigarette. And then you need another one.
Yeah, you can't
just have
one.
Isn't that like currency in jail? Is he really worried about cigarettes?
He is. He is. That's currency. That's why I'm saying you got to earn it. And he doesn't want to do that. Megan Fox apparently is obsessive compulsive.
Really?
Yes. Who knew? Did she tell you that when you ran into her, Mike?
No.
When
you
ran into her in the store?
We didn't touch on that.
Didn't touch on that.
Mostly it was just me going,
That's right. You didn't say anything to her. That's right. Apparently she can't stop thinking about germs and bacteria when she goes into a public restroom. Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
I can see that. I don't really want to touch a lot in the public restrooms either.
Right.
But she says that she refuses to eat with restaurant silverware.
Does she bring her own?
She must. That was my question. She either has to use her fingers, and she's got that one hinky thumb, so it'd be tough. Or she has to bring her own silverware.
Okay, that's borderline, right?
Right.
No, that's not borderline. It's full-fledged OCD. That's like, Nicholson in that?
I mean, that's like borderline deal breaker.
Oh, no.
Really? Girl starts pulling her own silverware out
Lisa
of her
May.
Purse wherever
no.
you go?
Yeah, that's deal breaker for an average-looking broad.
Right.
Well, I got... All right.
I'm
not even going to delve into that.
Don't underestimate how shallow guys are. If a girl looks like Megan Fox, she... could be eating a log of her own feces with her hands, let alone.
Stop it.
See, he always does
What's wrong with
Make
you?
Make him stop.
I'm right.
Celebrity birthdays today. Actor Peter Mayhew. You may not recognize his name. He was the star known as Chewbacca.
Yes.
In Star Wars.
Woo!
66 years old. Musician Pete Townsend is 65. Drummer Phil Rudd of AC/DC.
Yeah.
56 years old today. Boston Celtic forward Kevin Garnett.
Oh, come on.
34. And UFC welterweight champion George St. Pierre.
Oi, bonjour.
He's a tough mother effer.
I do love to fight.
And he wears shorts that are way too tight.
People make fun of me because of the shorts I wear and because of my nice suits that I wear when I'm not fighting. But I am still the champion. I challenge anybody to fight me.
He is 29 years old.
I have huge nipples.
And that is the show.
The Tea Party claims a big political win in Kentucky. Rand Paul, son of, you heard of Ron Paul, taking a Republican primary for Senate.
We've come to take our government back.
Democrats in Pennsylvania ousted veteran senator and party switcher Arlen Specter. Costa Mesa votes to be a rule of law city, meaning undocumented aliens are not welcome. They're supporting Arizona, which, by the way, is asking L.A., if you're going to boycott us, stop using our electricity. A battle in Bagram. That's the big U.S. air base outside Kabul in Afghanistan.
Four of them detonating their vests at one of the entrances to clear a path for the other gunmen to get into the base. That's where a firefight ensued. Many of the soldiers on the base went into their bunkers for at least 90 minutes.
One U.S. contractor wounded. Cal State can charge more for summer classes than regular college. $60 to $80 a unit. So rules a judge. Warmer, 70 to 80. 59 at K-Rock. I'm Doc on the Rock.
Right now it's time for the Wheel of Bed Animal Voices.
It's time for the Wheel of Bed Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it.
Bad animal voices we have in existence because there are so many good stories that involve animals that we can't fit them all in. So every once in a while we have to spin the wheel and make it happen. So here are the stories that are on the wheel today.
Okay.
The Russian dog girl. She's been on there a while.
She may need to be talked about at some point.
The renegade kangaroo. Well, listen, we spin the wheel and it lands wherever it lands.
You're right. Okay.
The renegade kangaroo. The smiling dog.
Okay.
The hurricane chimp.
All right.
The tweeting Ugandan gorillas. Percy the albino squirrel. I don't
Sounds
know what we're
going
to say to Percy. Hey, check out your eyes. Japanese attack bear.
Ooh.
I'm not sure they're not all that.
All right.
Rock throwing elephant. Human. This is the one that even if we land on it, we're not going to do it. Human faced lamb in heaven.
Oh, sad.
Giant Japanese jellyfish. And that's it. So those are the stories.
Okay.
We spin the wheel, we figure out. Which particular story we're going to need some more information on, And then we call and get some more information on it. Ladies and gentlemen, the Hurricane Chimp.
Oh,
how about that?
The Hurricane Chimp. So what's the story?
The story is the National Center for Public Policy Research, a Washington, D.C. Based think tank, which they have a lot of, apparently is very upset at the NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, for their bad. They're 75% of the time they're wrong predicting hurricanes.
Oh.
It's the government group that's supposed to predict hurricanes.
Right.
3 out of 4 times they're wrong.
Weather is hard.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. That's what we've learned.
It's difficult.
It's difficult.
So out of the last 3 or 4 years, they say they have been 75% wrong.
That's
even
a lot.
If it's difficult, that seems like a pretty bad record.
Yeah, a lot of people. Yeah. Okay.
So this group, the National Center for Public Policy Research, got a chimp and they had the chimp predict some hurricanes.
Okay.
And they're going to compare it with the NOAA.
Oh, that's just mean.
And they're going to say, let's see if a chimpanzee can predict hurricanes better than you. And if it does, then we expect you to make the chimp a part of your group.
Oh, my God.
So that's what's happening. We figured we would talk to the National Center for Public Policy Research in Washington, D.C. to find out some more information about this particular story. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Hi, I hear the chimp. Is that the chimp there in the background?
I'm a chimp.
Really?
Yeah, who could have seen that coming?
You're not making any attempt to sound like a chimp, though.
Oh, how do you know what chimps sound like? You talk to them often?
I've never talked to a chimp never before. Never talked to a chimp.
Yeah, now you have. Point. I'm a chimp.
Okay, all right. Now,
did the broad just say that weather's hard?
Weather's hard. She didn't say that.
Yeah, I think I heard that on the phone.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Sweet.
Now, what's your name, Mr. Chimp?
Jonathan.
Jonathan, okay. You've predicted 6 to 8 earthquakes.
Hold on.
What?
I'm getting a vision.
Okay. Oh, is that how it works?
What is?
Gabourey Sidibe Bay will battle
Precious.
Her weight sometime soon.
Well, that's not a prediction.
I've spoken.
That's not a prediction. She's super fat. Of course she has to.
What were you saying?
What I'm saying is that you have predicted 6 to 8 hurricanes in the Atlantic Ocean in the next year.
Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
Will make a lot of money on 2.5 Men next season. I've spoken.
Well, the story came out yesterday that he was getting paid $2 million an episode.
See?
Right, but I'm saying you could have known that ahead of time. Another one. Oh.
Wow. You just
get a lot of these.
Lisa May
will
go to a play with her dead mom this weekend.
Well, that's true every weekend.
I hope that happens.
See? I've spoken.
I hope that happens. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. The Weenie Roast 2010 is Saturday, June 5th. And Sublime with Rome, Stone Temple Pilots, Hole, Silver Sun Pickups, a bunch of bands are going to be there, and we're going to play Title Fight right now. That is a chance for you, the listener, to earn the tickets. Let's get going.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's Title Fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to go to a concert.
All right, our first contestant is Blake. Hey, Blake.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Are you ready for Title Fight?
Oh, I'm ready.
All right, your competitor is going to be Liz. Hi, Liz.
Hi.
Are you ready for Title Fight?
You betcha.
All right. Blake, you're the first person we talked to, so we're going to let Liz pick who she wants to give the clues. Now, this is kind of a grudge match because Dave, the King of Mexico, mouths off a lot. And he last time was challenging Miss Cleo, and he was like, oh, I could destroy you. And Miss Cleo had a very bad contestant.
It's not mouthing off if it's true.
Oh.
I mean,
she
well,
had
really?
The worst contestant
she had the
ever.
Worst contestant
there was
ever.
No way to tell.
And she got zero. So then all you had to do was get one in the 45 seconds. So here's what's going to happen.
Set you up is what happened.
Liz, who do you want? You want Miss Cleo or you want Dave the King of Mexico?
I'm going to take Miss Cleo because her clues are awesome.
All right. Her clues are awesome.
You're going to lose.
All right. Okay. So what we're going to do now is they're going to try to get you to say the name of the band. Now, there are some rules. One is that Stone Temple Pilots are playing, of course. You can't say STP. They go by that as well. Mm-hmm. The other is you can't describe song titles because that would be too easy to give it away.
Mm-hmm.
You have to describe the words of the band. So basically the answer is going to be the band.
Right.
But you have to describe the words. You can't say Bradley Noel used to be the lead singer of. You can't do that kind of thing. You have to do it. All right. So, Miss Cleo, you have not looked yet?
No.
Pick up your list.
Here we go. All right, Liz.
And we have 45 seconds starting now.
This is a type of color that you would, and then the first word is the type of color combined with the opposite of a moon, and the second word is a type of truck.
Oh my gosh, pass. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, Silver Sun pickups.
Yes.
Okay, if you're super enthusiastic about something, another word to describe that would be a...
And
if you're really
sublime.
No, okay, I'm gonna pass. If you're filthy, the thing on top.
Yes. Yes.
Ooh. all I can think is pass. if you can't hear anything, someone would call you.
Oh, too late. Oh. You got two. Miss Cleo passed on whole because she didn't know how to describe it.
I
know, of course. That's all that comes to your mind is dirty things. All right, you got two. Congratulations.
She passed on two out of four, by the way.
Because all right, she got two. Let's wait and
she
see.
She didn't even give the person a chance.
Well, there's a couple that there's...
A couple.
That it's impossible.
Passion Pit was the other one she was trying to get.
But that was tough.
When she got the hole, she didn't know what to say because all she was thinking was dirty thoughts.
Yeah. All right.
All right, Blake, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Is this Blake Griffin?
I believe it is. It is, yes.
All right.
All right, here we go. You have 45 seconds to beat two. Good luck.
Okay.
All right. It's a rock. It's someone who drives a plane.
Stone Temple Pilots.
All right. When I get angry, I really lose my...
Temperature.
Right on.
Two.
Dumbo was in...
Cage of the Elephant.
There it is.
Booyah!
You win.
Yeah.
All right.
Booyah!
Wow! Dave is good!
I think Dave might be pretty good at this.
I will retire now. Blake, enjoy the show, buddy.
Blake, enjoy the show.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much.
We'll see you at the Weenie Roast. Liz, you chose wrong. But thank you for playing. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Coming up in a second, we're going to talk about the biggest lie that you told and got caught, because this story of this girl that said told her parents she was going to UCLA.
The more I read about this, the more impressive it is.
For 2 years, they thought she was going.
She went to elaborate lengths.
And she lived with them.
Yeah.
So every day she would have to go somewhere. For 2 years, they already had a party planned for her graduation.
Unbelievable.
And she lied the whole time, and then she ran away and said she was kidnapped, and it was a funny story. So when we get back, just after the top of the hour, the biggest lie you told, and you got caught. Because getting caught is part of the fun of it.
Yep.
Ralph is off today. We have producer Alex in looking at the showbiz right now.
Good morning, everybody. All right, Justin Bieber has a tattoo.
Oh, he's getting tough.
That's right. Everybody's favorite 16-year-old Bieber fever. Has a tattoo. According to Best Week Ever and Pop Eater, they have confirmed that he appears that he has what appears to be a small bird tattooed on his left hip. Yeah. There were there were a bunch of paparazzi photos of Bieber and his family on an Australian beach back in April, so they were able to see this tattoo where his board shorts are.
Isn't that kind of a chick tattoo and a chick place to tattoo?
Absolutely. I'm just waiting for the tramp stamp. Apparently, it's been identified as a bird in flight, and many of his family members also have the same tattoo. So it appears to be a family tradition.
What's a family thing?
Yeah. Now, before you go calling Child Protective Services, they are Canadian, and I guess Canadian laws are different. So if the 16-year-old gets approval from his family, it's okay according to the po-po.
Boy, that was really gay.
Yeah.
Did you just call him the Popo?
I did.
Yeah, all right.
Well, you know, Bean's not here, so I'm also trying to, you know, cover for him, too.
You don't have to do that.
Hey, me and Kesha, the Popo. Lindsay Lohan is magic.
Yes.
And apparently LA prosecutors have had it up to here with her. The prosecutor in the Lindsay Lohan DUI probation case thinks she's violated her probation, you think, and should be sent to jail. Sources tell TMZ the prosecutor believes the judge made it pretty clear during the last hearing either Lindsay proves she's in full compliance with the terms of her probation, or she goes to the pokey. How's that, Kevin? Is that better?
Good.
Pokey.
Much
pokey.
Better.
Okay. Lindsay has not attended all of her alcohol ed classes, which, by the way, if that's what the judge determines you have to do. That's like the easiest thing you could possibly
right,
do. You should, you know, light a candle, say a prayer, and thank God that you didn't go to jail.
Right.
She needs to attend 13 classes, and she's only attended 10. So apparently Lindsay is also a bad driver and not good at math.
That's just not good.
So we'll see what happens. TMZ will keep us posted.
She's going to go to jail.
That would be awesome.
It's possible, but you know, it turns out going to jail not that big a deal for a lot of celebrities because they pop them right back out again.
That's the thing. She'll go in for an hour and then come back out and try to go get a mani-pedi. Sperminated, John Travolta and Kelly Preston. Kelly Preston is 47 years old, and they are expecting their third child.
Really?
They already have a 10-year-old daughter, Ella Blue, and as we know, their 16-year-old son, Jet, passed away last January after a horrible seizure. The couple just released the following statement. Quote, "It's impossible to keep a secret, especially one as wonderful as this. We want to be the first to share this great news with everyone that we are expecting a new addition to our family." So, yay, little Z news. Yay. Mike is going to throw up when he hears the story. Octomom is now a spokeswoman for PETA.
What?
Yes.
This is the best part. What? Octomom Nadia Sulman wants dogs and cats to refrain from having litters.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Yep.
Well, obviously, PETA sees the irony.
Yeah, thank you.
Is she going to say, don't do what I did?
Well, here you go. Octomom has agreed to display a banner around her La Habra, Los Angeles area home for PETA with the warning, don't let your dog or cat become an Octomom. She got $5,000 and a month's supply of veggie dogs and burgers.
Wow. Yeah, Hi, Norm. I'm a big animal rights activist, and I normally don't agree with the tactics of PETA, but this is pretty funny.
It is funny.
This is pretty awesome.
But I've never heard of a celebrity getting paid in veggie burgers. That's what I think is hilarious.
Yeah, that is kind of odd.
That doesn't compare to money.
And finally, Facebook is getting a lot of heat lately. Next hour, we're catching up with Wired Magazine on all the new controversy with Facebook. And yet, there is now a new movie coming out about the Facebook billionaire Mark Zuckerberg based on a book called The Accidental Billionaires by Ben Mezrich. It's set to be hitting the screen, and apparently it's a dark comedy that is far from flattering for the 26-year-old tech success. He's 26 years old, by the way,
and
a billionaire.
And he came into it on accident? Is that what you were saying? In a book?
That's what she said.
Yeah. Well, apparently he's a nasty, geeky sex maniac.
All right.
The film begins with the creation of his website where women on campus are compared to barnyard animals after a breakup with his Harvard girlfriend. According to the ex, the reason girls don't like Zuckerberg had nothing to do with him being a tech geek. It was just because he was, quote, an asshole. From there, he is portrayed as a borderline useless member of the company who the film alleges was actually really run by former co-owner Sean Parker.
Wow.
So that's not good news. But again, you're still a billionaire and you're 26, so whatever.
Yeah, but you know what that makes you do if you're a billionaire and you're 26 and you're an a-hole? It makes you a huge a-hole.
You don't get that.
It's like pouring gas on a fire.
I'm going to guess lots of blow, prostitutes, and then celebrity rehab. So that's great for Dr. Drew.
So we have that to look forward to.
Happy birthday today to Chewbacca. Woo! Peter Mayhew is 66. Pete Townsend and his gut is 65. Grace Jones is 58. And Phil Rudd, drummer for AC/DC, is 56 years old. I am Alex. That is your Showbiz Beat.
Mike, we need the news audio over here for a second, if you don't mind. We're going to talk about lies you told and you got caught at.
Yeah, and we got a great story.
And this is a bizarre story because this girl was living at home for the entire time.
Yeah.
And she had convinced her parents that she went to UCLA and she was continuing to go to school there for 2 years.
She had dropped out.
She had dropped out and didn't tell her parents for 2 years. They went as far as planning a graduation party before she finally ran away and said she was kidnapped.
And apparently they loved UCLA. They wore UCLA
t-shirts and a UCLA chair, like bumper stickers.
Oh,
they were all proud.
God.
Oh, man. Because their daughter went there.
22-year-old Nancy Salas was not abducted. Glendale police say it appears she caved under the pressure of her family to graduate from UCLA this spring. She hadn't attended in over a year, but hadn't told her family.
Because of the fact that she was expected to graduate and the family was planning a graduation, she could no longer face the stress that she was facing. She only had one alternative, according to her own statement, and that was to leave.
Investigators say she took trains and buses, but ultimately walked into a carpet store and asked for someone to call 911, initially saying she'd been abducted at knife point.
Yeah, that was her story.
Yeah.
I got abducted at knife point. I'm in, where was it, Merced. And I got away, and she walked into that store and said, someone called 911. So they, and she held to that story for a while. And then finally she said, I didn't get abducted so much as I just was lying about going to UCLA. Can you imagine? She hasn't attended since 2008.
She made it so much worse, too, right, by running away and having people look for her.
Not only that, she was blogging during those 2 years about how tough school is.
And she
and homework, and wow, I'm nervous about finals.
And she was babysitting for a woman, and she would ask sometimes if she could come late so she could meet with a professor.
It's unbelievable. She really put a lot of work into this.
She needs to be an actress.
I mean, honestly, what are you thinking? And you have to know in the back of your mind that at some point this is going to come back to bite you in the ass, right?
I would think so.
So you have 2 years to come up with a plan. Really, running away to Merced and saying that you were abducted at knife point? That's the best you can
come up with? If your parents weren't planning a graduation and going to your graduation, you could possibly lie about that. My parents didn't go to mine. So, you know, whether I did or didn't, they never would have known.
You could say you graduated no matter what.
Yeah, but these people, her parents were like crazy about her going to school.
Right. But so here's my question, though. If you have 2 years to plan, being abducted that's only for the last day.
That's a last minute freak out is what that is.
So then what happened for the last two? I mean, it's still going to come out that for 2 years you weren't going to college.
Especially
how does that help?
Because, like you said, she's doing the legwork for this entire 2 years. She's doing the blog. She's pretending to do her homework. She paid the guy to be, put on the corduroy coat with the elbow patches. I'm a professor. I'm smoking a pipe. I'm a college professor. Like, you'd think that maybe if you're going to do that much work, you might even plan the fake graduation. With the, you know, with the laser printers being what they are, go ahead and get a fake diploma. I mean, at this point.
But what if they're going to show
they're
up?
They're going to go to the graduation where they call your name.
I'm saying you hire 50 other actors. You're doing the fake graduation.
You don't even have to do that.
No,
you could just say,
UCLA, that's impossible.
No, you don't even have to do that. You could just say they have so many people. This is the main graduation. But our school.
They had to divide it up.
Whatever she was, sociology or whatever she was majoring in. Yeah, they had to divide it up, and they just gave us our diplomas. So we're not going to have a graduation ceremony, but let's have the party.
And you get 60 Chinese kids. Everybody believes they're from UCLA. Trust me, everybody's like, "Oh yeah, that's a UCLA class."
What's going through your mind when you're lying that big, and you think somehow it's going to end well?
I don't know.
Denial. And their parents had to be paying, right?
That's what I always wonder about. Like, where is that money going?
Even if you live locally, doesn't it cost $10,000 to go to college here?
It's not cheap.
So it's massively immoral what she's done. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can understand being scared to tell your parents you failed, especially when they're that excited about you.
She didn't fail. She quit, by the way.
I didn't mean necessarily failed, like get F's in class. I meant just failed at something in life.
Right.
When your parents are that excited about it, you know, I understand that. Because you don't want to disappoint your parents. But then you don't go ahead and rob them for the however much the tuition money is and then carry on this lie. That's just more hurtful.
Yeah, listen, you know what? I'll take the 10 grand in myself. I'd like to pay him myself. And then she's out having
That's part of it, too.
Having a party.
Those checks have been sent to the school,
and
normally?
Then the school would have sent them back and said, we have no record of your daughter.
This is all very puzzling.
It is. We're going to take your calls. 1-800-520-1067. The biggest lies that you told and got away with. I mean, I'm sorry.
And didn't get away with. I want to hear how you got busted.
Those are the funny ones. Psycho Mike has one that he did and never got busted for. Did your parents know to this day?
Well, yeah, because of the show.
Oh, okay. But not until then.
No, I just, the only reason my parents know a lot about me is because of the Kevin and Bean show and now Loveline, because I'll open up about it. But when I was in school, I went to Rutgers University in New Jersey, and my parents, I was born and raised here. My parents lived on the, here in Los Angeles. There was a period where I got put in jail for assault with a deadly weapon, and I was falsely accused, and it's been come to be proven that I was falsely accused. But I didn't have any money for bail, and I didn't want to call my parents and
say
hire an
jail.
Attorney.
Right.
And so I just...
Because that's the, hello, Dad,
in
jail.
No, but wait, if you were innocent, that call isn't so bad. If you're guilty, call's bad.
If your son is me,
and
you're in jail,
and
you're calling from jail, and you go, I didn't do it, honestly.
Yeah, that's true.
My dad's a reasonable guy. He goes, yes, you did.
Yes, you did.
Stop it.
You can rot.
Yeah. So I just tried. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And also.
Wait, so how long were you in jail?
20 days.
20 days in jail?
Yeah.
And they never found out?
No. until I told that story.
Did you call
on the air.
Them or
no.
anything?
Just after the 20 days, what happened was a girl who witnessed took this amount of time to find out that I was in a prison and had been charged. And she went forward and
cleared your name.
Yeah, cleared my
had
name.
Had she not done that, you still would?
I'd be screwed.
Wow.
Yeah, I'd be done.
So 20 days in jail, what happens with school?
Oh, the dean of the school within Rutgers, the campus that I was on, he came. He apologized. He said, "Is there anything we can do to help
oh,
you
so they were
catch up in class and everything?" Yeah,
really?
And I was like, you know, I'll deal with it. I'll be okay. I mean, you know, I was a terrible student anyway. But
I continue my D's.
And I just exactly how am I going to ever just hold up the standards of my 1.2 GPA? And everybody kind of like you know. Patted me on the back and said, "We cool?" And I was like, "Yeah, we cool. Let's just pretend like this never happened."
Wow.
And yeah.
But you didn't 5 years later tell your parents, just go, "Hey, by the way, this is pretty funny. You'll find this funny now."
No, because you know what? Honestly, I probably should have. And if I would have, if it wasn't for like the two stints in rehab between then.
They were still really disappointed in him.
Yeah, you had a big drug problem when you were young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that now it's like now that I kind of got away with it, I feel bad, you know, because you don't want to hold secrets from your parents or people that you care about.
But you feel good that you were able to do it. I mean, that's an accomplishment.
Yeah.
You were in jail for 20
and
days.
And I met such good people in Newark Prison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lifelong friends?
Oh, friends forever.
All right. We're going to take your calls. 1-800-520-1067. Lies you told and did not get away with. Because those are always funnier to find out how it happens. We have Zach on the line. Hi, Zach.
Hi. How's it going?
Hi, Zach.
Good. Thanks. What lie did you tell?
Okay, so I didn't want to be a lawyer, but my parents were super set on me becoming one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, that reminds me. I'm sorry, Zach. Can you hold your story for 1 second?
Yeah, that's cool.
They interviewed the dad of the girl that ran away from UCLA, and he said she's going to go back to school.
Wow.
Right?
Those parents are not taking no for an answer.
Right. Those parents, that may be the problem.
I kind of feel bad for her.
All right, so Zach, your dad says he wants you to go to law school.
Yeah, they want me to go to law school. And so I applied, mm-hmm. and I got accepted to all the law schools that I went to. But every time I received an acceptance letter, I would call my parents and be like, "Oh, I didn't get in."
So they think you didn't get into any schools.
They thought that I didn't get into any of the schools I applied to, but I got into every school I applied to.
Okay. But did they ever find out the truth?
So one day, because my sister, like, she saw the letters in my hand,
mm-hmm.
and, like, when you get an acceptance letter, it's usually a lot thicker packet than the, you know, decline.
The decline is just one sheet that says, "We regret to inform you."
Yeah, basically, yeah, you suck. And then, like, the acceptance letter is a lot bigger.
Yeah, like,
you know, there's a lot of stuff. And so my sister, she rooted through my trash.
What?
Yeah, she went through my stuff, she went through my trash can, and she found all the acceptance letters. And then she told my parents.
Oh, why did she do that? What's wrong with her?
Because she's nosy.
That's worse than nosy.
Well, you were probably a mean brother.
Were you a mean brother?
No.
You were a mean brother.
Come on, you tortured her.
There's no question about you being a mean brother.
I'm her little brother. She tortured me as a child.
Oh, well, then she was just continuing.
So then they found out, and you had a heart-to-heart with them, and did you tell them, "I don't want to be a lawyer"?
Yeah, I told them I don't want to be a lawyer. My mom's like, "Oh, we don't care."
Well, why didn't you just say that in the beginning?
Yeah, that's what my mom said. She was like, "You know, just do what makes you happy. I don't care if you don't want to be a lawyer."
What about your dad?
My dad didn't care either.
What?
Why to us?
That's so funny. That's just people not talking to each other.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, thank you for the call. That's awesome. Nope, got turned down again. Nope, sorry. Tried again, didn't. Nope, got turned down. Let's go to Stephanie. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi,
Stephanie.
What's the biggest lie you told that you got caught at?
About 10 years ago or so, you know the McDonald's Monopoly game?
Of course.
I told my parents that I won a pair of jet skis, and they believed me. They got all excited, and then nothing happened because obviously I didn't, and then they made me call McDonald's, and McDonald's had to tell me that I needed to send, like, certification, like the little stamp certified mail, and I told them I didn't, and then I told them that my boyfriend, who was really mean to me, decided he wanted to keep them for himself.
Okay, wait. So you didn't have jet skis?
No.
Well, isn't that the reason you would lie to your parents? Is that
you bought them, but you didn't want them to know it?
Right, you spent money on jet skis, so that's why you tell your parents you want them, because you don't want them to know you spent the money.
That makes sense now, but...
So at the time, you hadn't won anything, but you told them you did.
I told them my one.
That's so weird, Stephanie.
That is a bizarre lie. You're nuts.
Until this day, I still think that my boyfriend cheated me out of debt.
Oh, my God. That's
awesome. I think I love you. All right, Stephanie, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. We'll take a break and come back. 1-800-520-1067. The biggest lie you told and got caught. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about giant lies that you told and got caught. There's a local story about a girl who told her parents that she was going to UCLA for 2 full years while she wasn't. 2 years.
You know, it turns out her parents are from El Salvador, and I think maybe she's the first person in their family to go to college, and the pressure was probably enormous. Not that this excuses her lying, but they were over the moon about right. her going to school, wearing the shirts and everything. I can imagine it would have been hard to say, yeah, I dropped out.
And again, afterwards, after they found out the hoax, she said she was kidnapped, and right. she was... After they found that out, her dad said, she'll be going back to school.
Oh, she'll be going right. back.
Right, which then I go, whoa.
Apparently he's going to be driving her every day.
Look what she went through to not go to school. Maybe she doesn't want to go to school.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
All right, so we're talking about lies that you got caught in. Let's begin with Jacob. Hi, Jacob.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Hi. What did you lie about?
Well, long story short is that basically I wanted to go on vacation for about a year. My boss said, oh, no, sorry, you can't. And I lied and said I had to go to a funeral in Hawaii. And turns out he knows everybody there, and he caught me in a big lie, and I got in pretty big trouble for it. I'll never do it again.
So wait a minute. You told him you were going to a funeral in Hawaii. Why would he check up on that? Why would he think you were lying? Were you unreliable?
Well, yeah, basically, I went to he basically flies Hawaiian Airlines a lot, so he knows, like, everybody on the plane.
Oh,
and turns out he, one of the flight attendants called him, and then after calling him, he went to Hawaii and looked for me and found me, and I got in pretty big trouble for it.
So. Wow.
Went to Hawaii and
what kind of boss do you have?
Basically, never do it again. I got suspended for 2 weeks, and basically, and now he said I'm stuck with him, working for him for another year.
It sounds like he works for the mob.
Physically went to Hawaii and found you.
Yeah.
Sounds like an 80s sitcom.
There's no way that happened. What boss is going to do that? If he finds out, he's just going to call.
It's more of a stalker's type, I guess, of him. He's pretty strict.
There is about 99% of this story that we're not being told. Right? You get that idea? There's a lot going on here.
What do you do, Jacob?
Waste disposal.
Well, I'm not going to say it's my fault, but there's times when I need a vacation, and if he's not going to give it to me, then what the hell, you know? I might as well go.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. You're in the family, aren't you? You're
in
the mafia.
Yeah, that's what I think.
You're in the mob.
Well.
That's what I thought. All right. Yeah, well, you know how that goes. Let's go to Matt. Hello, Matt.
Hey, how's it going, Kevin and Bean? Good morning, Lisa May.
Hi, Matt.
Are you also in the mob and told him that you had to go to a funeral in Hawaii?
No mob for me.
Okay, good.
Actually, last year I was at the tail end of a relationship that, I was pretty much over but hadn't pulled the trigger on yet. And anyway, my best friend wanted to go on a booze cruise to Mexico, the 3-day carnival cruise, and I told him how much fun they were, and he wanted to go, and there was no way that my girlfriend was going to be okay with me going on said cruise to Mexico.
Right.
So I came up with this really, really elaborate story about how my friend's dad had chartered a fishing boat for the weekend out of Oxnard, and we were going to be out of cell phone range, and
right.
were going to be off, and I even laid out all my fishing equipment and packed a duffel bag full of grubby clothes.
That sounds like you had all your bases covered. How did she find out?
She just said that I didn't sell it well enough and that the whole thing smelled funny. So what happened was is she had come down to my apartment and she was still on the lease even though we weren't living together anymore and asked the leasing office for a key. So she went through and she saw that all my fishing equipment and duffel bag were still there, but my garment bag and my 3-suiter Samsonite and all my nice clothes were not there.
Oh, wow.
And
she's good.
She called every hotel in Vegas before realizing he could be on a cruise because, as luck would have it, she and I met on that exact same cruise ship, on that exact same cruise.
Wow.
And that was adding insult to injury.
Wow. So, what? How far is she? This is weird how far people go to bust you. I mean,
yeah,
the last guy's boss flew to Hawaii.
I know.
She went to his house, got an extra key, went in, went through stuff.
Well, if you really suspect someone is lying to you, especially someone close to you, it gets to be like a passion. You got to find out what's going on.
Did you break up after that?
Yeah. Needless to say, I had a not so happy message waiting for me in my room after dinner when I got back. But
you were relieved, Matt.
And that's fine, yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I was actually feeling sick to my stomach about it because I just felt bad that I made her feel like that. That was definitely. I felt more bad about it afterwards than anything. So.
Look at that.
He's a nice guy.
All right, so you're not in the mob. All right, good. Keeping track. Let's see here. Let's go to Sean, who is a very smart 16-year-old at the time. Hi, Sean.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
What'd you do?
Well, when I was in high school, I was not very good in school. I got a lot of Fs and Ds. Mm-hmm. And so report cards came in one day, and I had all Fs in every single one of my classes. And at the time, I was playing baseball, and my folks told me, you know, if you get any more Fs and Ds, you're going to be out of baseball. So
you can let that happen.
In order to stay in baseball, I threw away my report card. I went home, told my folks that, oh, you know what? They forgot to email my report card, or it's going to be late, so they're going to give it to me tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
So the previous day, I had gone into the front office, and I asked the front office to give me a printout of my grades, because they'll do that at any time.
Right.
So they printed me out just a regular computer printout of my grades. I went home, and about 3 o'clock that next morning, I got up, turned on my computer, and copied it font for font, text for text, everything. And made the paper that I made look just like the one that the school printed me out with all the S and D's, except that changed my grades to B's and C's.
So you had B's and C's, good.
Yeah.
How did they find out?
Oh, my counselor had called my folks to make an appointment to talk about my grades.
Yeah, because you had all F's.
So my mom takes the paper that I printed out, took it into the office, and my counselor looks at it and says, well, these are the same thing. She thought it was a mistake and changed my grades to the ones that I had changed them to.
Wait a minute. You're telling me then that the school thought they made the mistake, and then the school gave you B's and C's?
Exactly. They put the grades that I put on the paper on their paper.
Huh.
Well, I find that hard to believe.
It's exactly what happened. I was freaking out. I thought they were going to kick me out of school. I thought all this stuff. And then they were like, you know what? He's been advancing, because by the time that they made the appointment, I had brought my grades up to, like, C's.
Oh,
so
I see.
They had just changed the grades back to what they were.
Wow, that's
so
the best lie ever.
So you didn't get caught.
He sort of got caught, but then it worked out.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? That school said, our bad. All right, go ahead. That's bizarre. Let's go to Erica. Hi, Erica.
Hi, guys.
Yeah, Eric.
What did you tell your parents?
I told my parents that I was in the Navy.
What?
Were you in the Navy?
I joined for 2 years,
okay.
And I got kicked out for having marijuana possession.
Okay.
And my parents were the wear hats, wear shirts, like, can't wait to go to your boat kind of people.
Right.
So I could not confess that I had gotten kicked out for possession.
So how long did you How long did you lie?
2 years. They just found out last week when DFAS sent me a bill saying that I hadn't paid taxes for the 2 years that I was in.
Oh.
And my parents were like, 2 years that you were in? Really?
Oh,
what happened to all the other money?
Oh, were they pissed?
Yeah. They're like, where have you been the last 2 years? Because I told
you were you living at home?
I was living at home half-time and living at a friend's house out by Point Magoo.
Oh, to make it more realistic.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Thank you for the call. Let's get one more, because this is the funniest way that I've seen anyone get caught. David is on the line. Hi, David.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What was your lie?
And how? I went to, I called out sick from work and went to an Angel game because my sister got like some really good tickets. Mm-hmm. And they clinched the division like 2 years ago.
So it's a daytime game. You wanted to get out of work.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I went to the game with them, called out sick. I was out of sick days. And then at the very end of the game, after they clinched the division,
mm-hmm.
like the camera just did a close-up on me standing there clapping. Everyone from work was just sitting in the break room.
Oh, my God.
So everybody at work was watching the game, and you were on TV, a close-up of you.
Yeah.
On TV.
And the next day, I come in, and we're doing the morning briefing, and, like, somebody who works with me, like, leans over, so, you were sick yesterday, yeah, really? So you weren't at the Ames game? I'm like, no.
Did the boss see you?
Yeah, apparently, but he's the only one who was, like, really dogging me on it.
If I was your boss, I would give you credit for stones. I would say, that's a good lie. Funny you got caught that way. Don't do it again.
Yeah, well, I ended up getting fired like 3 months later.
Or you're fired. Either way.
Yeah. No reason.
What's, so. Why did you get fired then? I mean, calling in sick and going to an Angels game wasn't enough.
Because I flew to Sacramento for Thanksgiving instead of staying there for Black Friday.
Okay.
They're a bad employee. They made the right decision. Thank you for calling, Dave. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's time to talk about Facebook. I don't know if you've been following any of the controversy. By the way, Kevin Smith joining us in the studio.
Yeah, that's right.
Kevin Smith.
How are you?
You have a Facebook account?
I do. I joined many, many years ago, and I just let everybody join. The idea, I think, is you're supposed to do friends and family.
Right.
And I was just like, come on, everybody join. And I hit a ceiling of 5,000 within like 2 days. And
was it.
Oh, they won't let you go higher than that?
No, on a personal account. And then they created the Facebook fan page or whatever. And so you can go much, much higher on that. So I have two of those.
Any security concerns?
I don't know. I don't put that much personal information on it, which is odd to say because there are pictures of my child on there. But I'm talking of personal information in terms of credit card numbers and whatnot. Yeah, yeah.
We have a Wired staff writer named Ryan Single who's on the phone with us. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You have written several articles, I believe, on Facebook for Wired.com. Tell us about what is the security concern and why are you calling for other groups to be started?
Basically, I'm trying to say that your online identity is just kind of way too important to be left in the hands of a giant corporation who's, you know, sort of signed you up to be on a service where you got to share some photos with friends and family and then has decided it wants to be the center of the internet and to be the place where you define yourself online.
So
are they doing something that seems bad? Are they selling personal information? Are they giving personal information that shouldn't be there? Or is it just kind of how it works?
No, they've kind of turned some of their privacy policies inside out. So, you know, more and more data, they want you to make it totally public. There's been sort of a steady march of changes, with the biggest one coming in December. And then just a couple of weeks ago, they started shipping your data to third parties like Yelp and Pandora and a Microsoft thing called Docs.com. So when you go to those sites, they've already got your Facebook information, and all of a sudden, you know, Yelp knows who all your friends are.
Everything that you put up there goes to these other companies. Is this a normal thing? I mean, does MySpace do stuff like that?
MySpace doesn't. You know, Facebook's really trying to figure out how to be kind of the center of your identity so that, you know, everywhere you go on the web, there's a little like button, and you press a little like button, and then your profile gets updated, and or you go to CNN, and all of a sudden you see, you know, pictures of your friends and the stories that they liked. So they're really trying, I mean, they're kind of pushing the envelope on this stuff, and what they're doing is really cool in some ways. You know, you don't get 400 million users without doing something right.
Right.
I just think it would be really cool if we all got to have our data and own it and not let Facebook make these decisions for us.
So they can make once you put it up on there, they can make whatever decision they want with your information.
Basically, I mean, they kind of, you know, they have to go through a little process where they change their privacy policy because, you know, but that thing's gotten huge. It's now longer than the U.S. Constitution.
You said that they turned it inside out. What does that mean?
Oh, well, when most people signed up, you know, the original idea was that you just, you know, were able to share with friends and family. And then, you know, it started off, you actually could only share with people at your college. Mm-hmm. And then if you go and you look at the sort of the default settings, they've just grown so that more and more things are by default public. And in fact, as of last December, a bunch of your information, including your profile picture and where you live and the list of your friends and, you know, the causes and brands that you like online, all those things are now publicly available information.
And that happened just as of this past December?
Mm-hmm. So before you could hide that stuff, and you can still hide it in your profile, but it's findable online because they consider it to fall in this category of things they call publicly available.
Well, wait a minute. Because you can keep stuff private.
You can, but then but
they can
else
still
can find it.
They can still find that stuff and sell it to other companies.
Well, I don't want to say
doesn't sound very private.
They're not selling any data, but you can. So, you know, say you join a, you know, you come from a conservative Christian family, you join a, you know, a pro-abortion group, and you don't want your parents to know.
Right.
Theoretically, they could find that if they went to the, you know, the pro-abortion sites, you know, a little Facebook page. You're on there, or if some
even if that's private on Facebook, if you have that private on Facebook, they can still go to that other group, and it will be public on there.
Exactly.
And I have to say that I've gone through, I'm on Facebook and I go through, mostly just for my family and friends, and I go through those privacy settings and I find them very confusing. And I, you know, I've been hearing about this and I thought, okay, then I need to change my privacy settings. But it seems like if I change them, then friends who want to find me on Facebook will no longer be able to do that. Is that a choice I have to make?
No, I mean, you can still set things like people who know your email address can find you. It's just hard because there's like 50 settings. You kind of need a master's in computer science to figure out their
Well, and old friends choices. Wouldn't necessarily know my email address.
Because you've blown them off.
The biggest default setting you can use, which is just not use Facebook.
Give
out that much information. I mean, here's the thing. It's like in a world where you make that information available, it's the old parable from the Bible. You rip open the pillow and the feathers go out, and it's like, try collecting those feathers. If you're going to put that information into the world, even if it's in a quote-unquote private box, that information is now out in the world.
It is.
But
wouldn't you think if you have privacy settings that it would stay private?
No.
You wouldn't think that.
Why? Because the service is free. It's not like we're charging you $10,000 because we're a top-notch private organization where we're going to take care. He's right. It's mainstream, man. Yeah. This is like going to use the public water fountain at this point. So that's a lot of people, and they're not guaranteeing anything except
but
here's where
words,
people could track you down.
The words private settings to me would mean private settings.
I guess we would have to look at I guess we would have to look at how they would define private settings. Like, does that private setting mean private from the entire world, or is it like private nudge nudge wink wink, you know, we won't let people look at it here,
but we'll send it to
but it's available
other groups.
Is
this
never put information into the world that you don't want anybody to know. Never put anything into an email, into an iChat. Anytime
Twitter.
I sit there about to write something, I'm like, do I want everybody to know this? Am I okay with everybody seeing this?
That's what you have
that's
to think,
the possibility,
isn't it? I mean, even Google. Isn't there a lot of stuff about Google selling search information, you know, that you search for?
It's a tech that they're only used to for the last, 10, 20 years. And everyone's going to try to figure out how to monetize it, all these companies. And even something like Twitter is amazing, a giant company everyone's interested in. You sit there going, how do they make money?
Yeah.
And sooner or later, they got to figure out how to make money, too. All these companies
and
do. And I guess this is one stream of revenue where they're just like, well, maybe we can make some of this stuff available.
So if we
the dude's saying that they're not selling that information.
You're saying they're not selling, they're just giving it?
They're not selling that information. What they're doing is they're not, selling your information to, a direct marketing list. So, they might, they might be charging Yelp a giant fee so that, when you show up, then they'll give them your data. So it depends on what you mean by selling it.
So then if you go to Yelp, then they'll have all the information of the stuff I like, the things I do, the pictures, my friends, that kind of stuff.
Exactly. And, it's not unuseful. Like, you show up and if there's a restaurant that has 400 reviews, and you don't know if who do you trust, and you can see the reviews that just come from your friends, that's not unuseful.
Right.
I think that for me the point is that it would be nice if there were if we had an open service where people had a lot more choices about who controlled their data.
So that you don't give Facebook all of that control. That's what you're saying.
Sure. And there's other things, too. Like, you guys have a Facebook page. And if I go and I like your show, weirdly, I'm not really like you have a web page, too. I'm not liking your web page. I'm liking your Facebook page. And so, they control that page much more than you control, your own web page.
Right.
So wouldn't it be great if you could do the same thing you do on your Facebook page, you just do it on your website?
Well, I will tell you this. We have made a big deal out of every single new technology that comes along. It comes along. MySpace was one of the first ones, and then Facebook, and then Twitter. And you see people who think that the stuff they're putting up is private, and then they get fired for it because somebody Googled them or something online. It does always come out.
It's single-handedly created the revenge porn industry. You know what I'm saying? Like, basically, there are people taking pictures from other people's accounts where they put them up thinking, this is private. Now it's available, and then your ex is breaking up. It's weird. I mean, it seems like we've tried to further ourselves from one another and under the umbrella of social media.
Right.
We're not really socializing. You're talking, you're communicating, but you're not socializing. The still best form of social media has to be pick up the phone.
Yeah.
Call your friend you haven't spoken to in a long time.
I'm not a phone person.
But that's the thing. Everyone's like, well, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to have to talk to people. So I would love to kind of cursory check in on their lives creepily from online. But in order to do that, you may be giving up a lot of vital personal information about. Or you are giving up vital
personal. Ryan, are there any good options at this point?
So far, not really, but there's some cool ones coming up. So, some four college students out of New York kind of tapped into the zeitgeist, and they've got $180,000 in donations to build an alternative Facebook.
Skynet.
Yeah, Skynet.
Diaspora is what they call themselves. And then there's a cool one coming out of Europe called One Social Web, and they should have something up this summer. And so,
yeah, I don't trust Europe.
I don't trust anyone in Europe. I'd be weird about that.
All right, well, thank you. It's always interesting to find out the limits of what happens with what you put online. Yeah. Ryan Single, again, Wired.com writer, thank you very much for coming
Kevin,
on the show.
Kevin, thanks for having me on.
You bet. Kevin and Bean Show, time for the Showbiz Beat. Ralph is out today, so we're going to take a look at it. Kevin Smith is joining us.
Yeah.
Axl Rose is suing Irving Azoff, his former manager, saying that
you made me rich. I'm so mad that you made me rich. No, stop making me rich, Irving. I'm going to sue you.
That's usually what happens. Yeah. This might be different.
When he came out with Chinese Democracy,
he
wanted to tour with, it wasn't Guns N' Roses, it was just Axl Rose.
Right.
And the other guys in Guns N' Roses didn't come along for the ride. He didn't want them.
Right.
So he's claiming that Irving Azoff sabotaged the whole project on purpose so that Axl would have no choice but to go back to the original bands of the band members of Guns N' Roses and put that back together. And Irving Azoff is counter-suing because he didn't do that.
Oh, good.
So
when titans clash.
Yeah. I got to tell you, though, when you start talking about Axl Rose, I mean, really, you have to
Are you questioning the credibility of a man who took, 26 years to deliver an album? How long did it take to deliver that album?
I don't know.
Seriously?
It was 16 years. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know who...
So weird when you say he created Chinese Democracy. I'm like, wow. I thought he just sang that song when I was a kid.
I didn't know they had democracy.
Wow. A billion people can't be wrong, I guess.
Hey, Kevin, you would know. You're an insider. You're a movie insider.
Hollywood dude.
Mickey Rourke doesn't have a lot of friends in Hollywood.
Neither do I. So Mickey Rourke's probably somewhere talking about me going, Silent Bob doesn't have a lot of friends
in Hollywood. The actor tells Us Weekly that just because a movie makes $200 million doesn't mean it makes the star any better. They still suck. He seems to have a chip on his shoulder against basically actors.
He's bad-mouthing most actors.
Yeah. Oh, I thought he was bad-mouthing Robert Downey Jr. the way you said that.
I don't think so.
I read in Entertainment Weekly, right? He wasn't bad-mouthing him.
So wait, let's break the statement down. The man is saying just because a movie makes a lot of money doesn't mean the person in it is any good.
Right. Yes. I would imagine he's talking about a Transformers. Right.
I think that's a rational statement.
He goes to the next step that most actors suck and don't prepare and are bad.
Yeah, would you go that far?
Well,
most actors?
I have not worked with most actors. Most of the actors I've worked with, very, very prepared.
I don't think he's worked with most actors either.
No.
He's been around, though.
He's been around.
Kate Bassinger, he was a Diner, and there were all those dudes in Diner who at one point were pretty famous and pretty good, and some of them still really current.
Then there was the 17 years where he was working on Chinese Democracy or whatever it was he was doing.
He did those weird sex films, the Red Shoe Diary type level of stuff.
Exactly.
The stuff that was just erotically charged.
Yeah.
Not necessarily penetration and whatnot.
It's funny. And not necessarily good.
They sold it for chicks. It was always that you were supposed to like it. You didn't like it?
I liked the one with Kim Basinger. I like that one. And then it just got weird and
creepy. None of the other ones sent you to the shower, so to speak?
Miss Cleo and Lady Gaga, our phone screener and our intern and stuff, they're too young to really know Mickey Rourke from anything else besides The Wrestler and Iron Man 2.
Right.
And so they don't understand. They just think he's this wacky, ugly guy. And it's so weird that people, because of the hiatus he took, he was awesome.
He was amazing.
If you see Pope of Greenwich Village now, or Diner, another good example. I mean, the guy,
dude, Angel Heart.
Yeah,
remember him in Angel Heart? He's the bomb in Angel Heart. He's so haunted. Then there's that sex scene with the Cosby Girl.
Yeah,
remember Lisa people Bonet. Like they think they literally had sex. That was the story back then. Way before the internet, in the news, people would be like, "I think they might have actually done it and whatnot."
Not only awesome, but handsome.
And sexy.
He was. Yeah.
I'll be honest, man. He was a sex avatar for me for a long time. Anytime, post-high school, before I made Clerks, I was working at Quick Stop, and I was way into films, and 9.5 weeks was kind of au courant at that point.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the chicks that I would hang out with would watch stuff like that, hadn't heard of it. They didn't go to... This is just when video stores started becoming popular.
Right.
So that would be my go-to tip. I was like, you ever seen 9.5 weeks? And they're like, oh, no. I was like, oh, let's watch it. And
watch
because
it together
he's
your
so
house.
Sexy, he turned them on. I got to finish the job. I was the closer for Mickey Rourke, man. So I appreciate him. But is he right? Do most actors suck? I don't know. It depends what, you would have to break the language down and figure out what he means by an actor. Does he mean, somebody who gets paid to be on TV in a movie, that's not necessarily an actor.
Right.
You know?
That's true.
So maybe if he's talking about just the true talent, the people who put in for the craft, you know, who's going to know more than him? He's an actor.
Yeah, I guess.
But not a very popular sentiment to express.
Right.
Well, I don't know what the point he's trying to make.
Keep that to, even if you think that way, keep that to yourself.
That's also, to me, that's kind of like going out there and going, isn't it stupid we all pay for bottled water because it's free? But it's just like, that's just a stupid we all agreed on at one point. You know what I'm saying?
Stupid,
same with the actors. It's just, you know, some people are going to try, some aren't. Some just want to be famous.
Yeah.
Some just want to be on posters.
Tom Collins. I'm not sure if you recognize that name. He's the guitarist for Tokyo Hotel.
Yeah. Oh, good for you.
He recently told a German paper that he took way too many Viagra.
Oh, really?
Apparently somebody handed him like a handful of Viagra and he took it all.
And what happened?
Hamsters in paper tubes. He's like, this is what happened.
He said that he woke up the next day, his head was pounding.
Yeah.
And
that was Dean's reaction too, remember?
And he had blurry vision and that it lasted for 2 full days before it wore off.
The down below part lasted.
All of
everything.
No, the blurry vision and everything else. It doesn't talk about the down below part in the story.
Right.
I would imagine that lasted 2 days as well.
I hope he contacted his doctor.
he's all of like 19. Stop it with the Viagra.
Yeah, what the hell?
Did he really use Viagra at age 19? Why did you do that?
For recreation.
Probably just for fun.
Just for fun.
I'm guessing.
Hey, it'll make it better.
He might be.
No, he was 20. I think.
I know you're a clean living fool now, but what is the thrill of using Viagra if you're not an old man, Mike?
I don't know. I mean, it was originally.
I figured with Love Lines, you might have a connection.
I know kids party with it. You know, candy flip. They'll eat ecstasy and
Viagra.
Speed
your heart up or something like that?
No, because you can cut diamonds with it.
When you're a kid, you can cut diamonds with it anyway.
That's true.
Like, and you have 5 minutes to recover. That's all you need.
It's like bringing a machete to a knife fight. You know, it's like you don't need that much.
How much more diamond cutty do you need at 19? Yeah.
Wow, man.
Birthdays today. The guy that played Chewbacca in Star Wars.
Yeah. Peter Mayhew?
Peter Mayhew. Yep. 66 years old.
He's tall. You ever meet that dude?
Never have.
Tall, nice guy, but tall and creepy.
Very hairy. Oh, is he creepy?
Yeah, but not in a lecherous way. Just like so tall, it's creepy. And the way he talks, he's like one of these giants, but he's got a gentle giant voice. So he's, hello, Kevin.
Musician Pete Townsend is 65. Yeah. The drummer for AC/DC, Phil Rudd, is 56. Yeah. Boston Celtics forward Kevin Garnett is 34. Yep. And UFC welterweight champion George St. Pierre is 29 years old. And that is the show business. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin and Smith. Kevin and Smith.
Kevin and Kevin.
Both of them are there.
That's what they called me on Southwest Airlines. Kevin and Smith. How dare you?
And Omar is here who has cartoon hate for Glee.
F you guys for making me watch this crap.
And because he hates it so much, we decided that he's going to be our correspondent. He watches Glee each week, and then he brings in clips.
Because one day he will see the magic of Glee.
Right.
Yeah, this is what's going to happen.
This is just exactly like I hate wine, and I have a friend who loves wine. He keeps saying, try this one, you'll like it. I try it. Right. I don't like it. Try this one, you'll like it. I don't ever want to like it. But it'll happen with Omar. He's going to watch the show like five times, and then you're going to go, I see.
It's going to happen when I finally realize that I'm gay, which will never happen, okay?
Guys, I'm a little worried. If you remember last time we had Kevin Smith in studio and Omar started talking Glee, Omar said he was going to poop on Kevin Smith. So.
Yeah, but he didn't.
That's why I've got this Gallagher-like tarp on top of me off to the side. I think watermelon's going to get smashed.
In his defense, he didn't. So what do you got for us, Omar? How was last night's Glee? Good?
Yeah. Oh, it was awesome. Yeah. First, I made a little intro for the bit.
Glee cap, Glee cap, Glee cap. Why do you like this stupid show? It sucks so bad, I'm gonna let you know. I think I'm gonna go number two on it. This crappy music makes me feel so goddamn sick. Glee cap, Glee cap, Glee cap. Glee crap, Glee crap, Glee crap.
That's exactly what it is. Glee crap.
See, you changed it from cap to crap.
You see?
How do you do it?
I'm just as clever as a goddamn show.
What's your secret?
Okay.
So last night was good?
Last night was awful. Another awful show. I think the show is progressively getting worse.
Okay.
And they're season one, and they're already starting with the stunt casting. Last night they had Doogie Howser on.
That's true.
Okay.
Yeah,
what
but
show
he's
does
a singer,
that?
He's a singer and a dancer. That works.
I get that, but
you still think it's a stunt casting?
Yeah, they're on the brink of getting canceled soon.
Oh, come on! Okay? They
got a couple of things. They had the Madonna episode, and then I got to wait till I tell you about next week's goddamn episode. Oh, right. You guys are gonna love
this. Are you saying that once you bring in a Doogie, the show has jumped the shark?
Totally. That's exactly what happens.
In this case, I thought it made sense because he's been on Broadway.
Yeah, he's a singer.
The only reason it makes sense is because he's gay. Okay, that's the only reason it makes sense. Because the whole show it has all kinds of undertones of gay subliminal messages.
I don't think that's true, but
I will prove it.
All right, what do you
okay?
got?
Okay, first, okay, the guy Doogie Howser plays this guy from the school district who's trying to cut budgets.
Right.
So the Glee is in danger of getting cut, but this is how we're introduced to him.
Brian. We went to school together, and he made my life a living hell. He was 2 years older, dated every girl I liked, got every solo.
Cheer up, sleepy Gino, what can it mean?
What's the matter, Schuster? Cat got your talent?
Cat got your talent is what they decided to write.
All right, that was dumb.
Really?
But it was a flashback.
It was a flashback to when he was in high school. It wasn't that creative.
Okay, cool. So now his whole deal is he gets out of choir, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So he straightens up, and this is how he did it.
I straightened up, put down the pipe.
Yeah, you put down the man pipe. That's what's happening there. Okay? Are you guys seeing what's happening here?
I see where you're going.
Okay. So there's this other storyline. The big-nosed girl is all depressed because she can't find her mom, and her boyfriend is trying to inspire her, and this is what he says to her.
A dream is something that fills up the emptiness inside. The one thing that you know if it came true, all the hurt would go away. You singing Don't Cry For Me, Argentina in front of a sold-out crowd isn't a fantasy. It's an inevitability.
Okay, this is not Lifetime, people.
I got a little choked up listening to that clip.
Did you
a
really?
Little glassy. Yeah, man, that was powerful stuff.
This is cheese at its worst. It's like The Notebook, man.
It's inspiring. You came up with a brilliant Glee Cap intro based on how creative the show is. It's bringing out the best in you, Omar.
Okay, so Stephen Hawking. I don't know the kid's name.
It's not Stephen Hawking.
Okay.
It's a little kid in the wheelchair.
Okay, Stephen Hawking wants
Artie.
To be
a It's little Stephen Hawking.
The whole show is like based around dreams. Okay,
okay
it's
right.
a, that's like the theme. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so Stephen Hawking wants to be a dancer. Margaret Cho wants to help him
Margaret
out.
It's not Margaret Cho, but all right.
Or, you know who I'm talking about. Right.
Go
okay.
ahead.
Margaret Cho wants to help him out. So this happens on TV. I'm not kidding you. They decide to tap. So she has tap shoes on. And on the kid's wheels, they put these little clickers. Okay? This happens for about 1 minute on the show. On TV. A minute. They're just filling time now.
Tap
the writers
dancing.
Are like, oh, man, we can't get a song cleared by whoever. So we need to throw in some tap dancing for a whole minute.
So
you get the point in 10 seconds.
I think it's kind of cruel that the kid in the wheelchair is like, I dream of dancing. They're like, well, best we could do is tap.
Yeah, we can put some tap.
No, not even dancers like that.
So lame. So at the end of the tap dancing wheelchair, he's like sick of it. He's like, I'm going to try to get up. So he has some crutches, and this happens. He falls.
You okay?
Go.
Let me bring your chair over.
Just go away. You shouldn't have done this to me. You pushed me to do this.
I'm sorry.
Just go away, please.
Go away.
Come on, dude. Take some acting lessons. Really?
Omar, you might be going to hell for that one. That's a little boy in a wheelchair, man.
Boy,
even if he's an actor boy.
I'm telling you, so bad. Okay, so through the whole episode, Mr. White Manfro teacher guy is trying to convince Doogie
right.
of why Glee is awesome.
Glee Club, it's not just about expressing yourself to everyone else.
It's Dreamweaver in the background.
It's about expressing yourself to yourself.
Oh, it's about what? Expressing yourself to yourself.
I don't even understand that.
Some more of that Lifetime gay notebook writing. Okay. Come on, get off of that. Really? So then the big climax of the show is when Doogie Howser and White Man Afro teacher guy sing Dream On.
I thought Who's doing the high note?
I thought they were
they
enemies.
They had audition for a part in Les Mis.
Okay.
And they couldn't audition separately, so they had to do a duo.
Nice.
That's how they worked it in.
Okay.
Brilliant. but this is beyond, this is like the biggest subliminal gay message episode because at the end of the song, they both drop to their knees. They have these big black microphones in front of their...
Oh,
are you kidding? No. Here's a picture. Here's some proof.
He printed out a picture.
Come on their knees, singing into that. That is gay, my brother.
You did draw balls on the microphones.
Okay.
That helps. That really does complete the image.
Right?
All right.
Right? You can see where I'm going with that.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Unacceptable.
And I like that you went to the links to print it out.
Yes.
A screen cap.
Subliminal gay messages. I'm not having it.
All right.
Okay, and now you know how you say, okay, you know, I like the songs they choose or whatever because they do good versions of it.
Right.
Okay. So in a dream sequence, this Stephen Hawking kid thinks he could walk.
Right.
And this is one of the cheesiest lines of the episode.
I spent so many years dreaming about what I'd do if I could get up out of the chair. Now that I can, all I want to do is dance. Say, oh, we can dance.
We can dance. Everything's out of control. That song sucks the way they did it, okay? I love the original, but that song sucked. And the whole routine went on for 6 hours.
Omar,
it was
all he
way
wanted to
too
do
long.
Was dance.
I mean, you've never heard that before. Right? Okay, so the teacher, white man, Afro guy, still trying to convince Doogie not to cancel the program.
Right.
Check it out.
I've seen who these kids in Glee Club really are. They're true spirits. Queer. Yes.
Oh, I guess he was telling the truth in that clip. He's still trying to convince him.
You take away Glee, you're not just putting out those kids' lights. You're creating 13 black holes.
Black holes?
Oh,
what? Are you kidding me?
You might be looking
what
a little.
What is going on here?
You're looking a little
Come
too closely.
Come on, people.
You're looking a little too closely.
Read between the lines is what I'm saying here.
Or between the cheeks, as it were.
Right. Exactly, okay? And on top of it all, this is what's going to happen next week.
This week, your assignment? Gaga.
Oh, come on, Kevin.
It's Jump a Gaga
off
episode.
Now, dude. Jump off now, brother.
It's a Lady Gaga episode.
Yes.
Yeah.
How many
songs does she have at this point that people know? Like, how many quote-unquote hits?
Three or four, maybe.
Yeah. Is that enough to do a whole episode?
I don't know. I can't imagine.
Yeah, I mean, they'll do the whole song. They do the whole song, so it'll fill
That's
out
true.
Half the show.
And then they'll have some tap dancing and stuff.
Yeah, so that was my Glee Cap for the Glee Crap, Glee Crap,
Glee Crap. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm not a big baseball fan, but I know a lot of people are. I know I'm in the minority, and but I am a crazy fan. I do love crazy, and that's Manny Ramirez. So we figured we would talk to Manny today about how the Dodgers have been doing. Hi, Manny.
All right.
How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm Manny Ramirez, outfielder of Los Angeles Dodgers. I love L.A. I have a horn.
Yes, you do. Manny, the Dodgers have won nine straight now, if I'm reading this correctly.
Nope.
Well, that's what it says in the Times.
Okay.
You won nine straight and 11 out of 12.
Yep.
Okay.
I have a horn, I told you.
How's your hamstring? I know that was injured for...
Oh, I love ham. Sometimes I get honey baked, sometimes I get the extra salty. My doggy, Mr. Sniffle, he love ham too. When I make the ham, he come running. He sniffy. And then sometimes my parakeet, he says, Dr. Love, he goes and says, Mr. Manny Ramirez, can I have some ham? I said, no, you're a bird. You can't eat ham, you eat seeds. I have a barracuda.
What are you talking about? I was asking about your injury. Didn't you have an injured hamstring?
I want to buy a shark.
Okay.
Don't. Hey, pretty lady.
Yeah.
Do you have my rent?
What?
She doesn't rent from you.
I'm your landlord.
No, you're not, actually.
Okay. I'm Fred Flintstone. Hooray.
Manny, what do you smoke?
Huh?
What do you smoke?
Oh, banana peels.
Well, they work.
It's true. Sometimes I get so goofy and dizzy. I wake up in the morning, I say, what does Manny Ramirez want to do today?
Right.
Manny Ramirez want to home run. Manny Ramirez want to play Tomb Raider. Manny Ramirez want to smoke banana leaves. I do it all. Hooray. I have such a fulfilling life.
So glad to hear that. Time to bring on a guest, Bradley Whitford, who I... Love, especially from his days in the West Wing.
Yep.
He was also in Studio A on the Sunset Strip, and he's in a new show called The Good Guys. Hi, Bradley.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Tell me about The Good Guys. This is a cop show.
It's kind of a cross between The Wire and The Gong Show.
The Wire and The Gong Show.
I love The Wire.
All right. Good.
I love. By the way, The Wire is the best TV show ever made.
I agree 100%. It's just
awesome. I can't believe how great that show is.
South Park is the best show ever made, but let's not have that argument.
Let's not go there.
Okay.
No, this is a cop show. We live in the the golden age of cop shows, but unfortunately on television, they have an irony deficiency. So we're trying to bring a little irony in.
I did get the DVD copy of the episode that I was supposed to watch, and I forgot it here, but it did have a mustache on it.
It's quite broadly featured, that mustache.
The mustache gets so much more attention than I had thought.
It's like a Tom Selleck mustache.
Is it scary to go into a project knowing that there have been 150 cop shows and some really amazingly good shows? I mean, is that a genre that scares you a little bit?
Well, I it didn't scare me with this because I felt like there was a kind of a fresh voice that Matt Nix, who's he's the you know, the main writer and executive producer of this and of a show called Burn Notice.
Burn Notice,
which
we
also
love.
Really like, yeah.
And I felt I wouldn't have the arrogance to say we attain it, but I feel like the aspiration of this show is this kind of voice that I really like. That's this kind of Elmore Leonard, Raising Arizona mixture of crime comedy. There's something kind of hip about it. There's some kind of retro about it. I don't know. I just really like the voice.
It looks kind of goofy. You play an old school cop, and
I play a lusty alcoholic.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah, the research has been great.
And your partner, played by Colin Hanks, is what?
He is a young, sort of socially tone deaf guy, and we've both been relegated to the property crimes division of the Dallas Police Department, which is kind of the podiatry of law enforcement.
That's not the upper echelon, is what you're saying?
No. CSI, it ain't.
It's the bad stuff, okay. I have a clip. This is you talking to your partner about maybe not sleeping with people that are involved in the crime.
You know, it's not a good idea to get too involved with a robbery victim during an investigation, or sleep with them, for that matter.
Hey, pleasured us both, plus it jogged her memory. Do you remember seeing a guy lurking around the neighborhood a couple of days ago? I was able to get a rough sketch out of her.
Oh, damn, that is a stick figure.
Yeah, it's rough.
Stick figure. See, because he's sleeping with her.
He immediately sleeps with her.
It sounds like it has a funny tone. Tell me about, because it looks great, but tell me about the scheduling, because the scheduling seems like it's a little nutty. The series premiere is not tonight, although it airs tonight.
Yeah, but this is the, you know, this is, yeah, it's the series premiere. It's the first time it's on.
Right.
What they're doing is they're doing with us, which is a great compliment, what they did with Glee, which is sort of pair us with the final episodes of American Idol.
Okay, cool.
And they, you're right, they did that with Glee, and then there was another month or month and a half before the show actually debuted.
Yes, that's what they're doing with us.
Oh, okay.
So you can see it tonight at 8. On Fox, and then it premieres Monday, June 7th.
Oh, who knows? Basically,
well, who knows? Wait a minute. Is that not right?
No, it is right. But we're on next week as well.
Oh, with the same episode or a new one?
No, a new one.
What's happening?
Oh, okay.
Well, how can you be on next week with a new episode?
Look, just TiVo it. That's what I'm going to do, and then you don't miss it.
All right. I'm just saying. Look, I want to get.
Don't be confused.
Nobody told me that in this interview that you guys would be asking when it's going
to
be on.
I am trying to figure out when I can watch it. You're saying I can watch it tonight at 8 on Fox. After that, TiVo it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
That works.
I'm good with that.
But we'll be on all summer.
Okay, good.
Okay, great. So, but you're not going to take a break between now and June 7th then?
No.
All right, so then why does it say series premiere airs June 7th?
I don't know.
All right. Okay.
I wear makeup for a living.
Okay. All right. You're not in charge of the schedule. I got
no.
it. Well, this
no.
looks fantastic. You're one of our
It is a lot of fun.
You're one of our favorite actors. I mean that sincerely. Loved you on The West Wing every single episode.
And Colin Hanks has been really fun.
He's
too.
Great.
It's been fun watching
he
him.
He is a really wonderful guy.
He seems like it, yeah.
So,
best character Tom ever created.
Fantastic. So The Good Guys, tonight at 8 on Fox. Bradley Whitford, thank you very much for taking the time to speak to us about it today.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is out today. Kevin Smith is sitting in with us. And Psycho Mike is taking a look at the showbiz beat this hour. What's going on, Psycho Mike?
Some people do not help stereotypes go away as much as they perpetuate them.
Yeah.
Right.
When you think of the Irish
drinking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the first, you know, kind of main mm-hmm. stereotype that comes in your mind. And very talented actor, Jonathan Rhys Meyers. You probably know him as King Henry VIII?
No, King Henry on the Tudors.
Yeah,
on the Tudors. Okay. So good in that.
He is in his fourth stint in rehab. He's only 32 years old. He's currently in rehab right now. It's his fourth time going at jumping on the wagon. And it's because he was in JFK International Airport in the VIP lounge there. Mm-hmm. Hammered. Belligerent, in quotes, it says.
Uh-oh.
Disruptive. And throwing around the N-word.
Uh-oh.
At 7 a.m.
No.
At 7 a.m.
No. 7 a.m. The only N-word you're using at 7 a.m. is, no, I don't want any orange juice, thank you.
Or nap.
And I will say, drinking in the airport is the best place ever. The airport's the best place to go curl up to the bar.
This dude was hammered at 7 a.m. in the airport?
7 a.m.
Doesn't that mean he's been drinking all night?
All night, yeah. I mean, that means he didn't stop.
Which, to be fair, if he's in the airport at JFK, he's probably going either to Europe or to over here. That's a long flight. So maybe he's like, I'm going to get hammered and fall asleep on the plane.
And that's
apparently
one of the reasons.
He doesn't sleep when he gets hammered.
One of the reasons I used to love drinking at the airport because you get hammered before you go on the plane. It makes that experience, which usually sucks, better.
Right.
And also, everybody in an airport has a little story because like where you're going or where you're coming from, and you know it kind of is an icebreaker to the guy you're drinking or gal you're drinking with at the bar.
Okay,
but 7 a.m.
Yeah,
pounding vodka. It says pounding vodka. An onlooker
also,
says
everybody's got a story. Not everybody's story includes the N-word at 7 a.m.
Yeah, true. Yeah,
hurled around at people because you're drunk out of your mind. That's a story I'm not interested in sharing in the airport. I like hearing it here.
Yeah,
from
right.
the safety, the far distance from Jonathan.
Yeah,
Myers.
If you're there and it's happening. I still like it, by the way.
I blame this on I call it the curse of the Velvet Goldmine. He was in Velvet Goldmine, uh-huh. and so was Batman.
Okay.
What was Batman's
Christian Bale.
Name? Yeah,
Christian Bale.
Who yelled, and we heard him yelling one night.
Oh,
those
right.
are two dudes, man, who just can't keep it together, and they're both in the Velvet Goldmine. So, it's a theory that only I support, and
I've
there are
never
only two
heard
people.
And you only have two people
That's
in
it. Yeah, I need Ewan McGregor to do something insanely bad, and then I got it.
I'd pay a lot of money to hear drunk Jonathan Rhys Meyers and drunk Christian Bale yell at each other.
No doubt. That's what I'm saying, man. What a set that would
have been. Is there any audio of this? No one with a cell phone? Nobody? Come on. What's happening?
I don't know if there isn't.
Isn't the first thing you think when something like this goes down, get your cell phone out and start recording?
It wouldn't be the first thing I think, but it'd be the first thing you'd think.
Of course.
Yeah, it'd be the first thing I think, too. But I have to imagine that if there is, we would have already seen it.
I'm sure.
When did it happen?
Oh, gosh. Let me see here.
If I'm working in that lounge,
earlier
I'm
this
also
month,
pulling
the
my
says.
Phone out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Just for my own security. Not for, like, let's get this on the net
if,
and share.
Even if you're working.
Yeah, you're just working. It's just like, let's get footage of this dude in case it comes back to bite us. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You don't. I mean, this is ridiculous to say, but you should never be drunk in public. I know a lot of people enjoy doing that, but
yeah, I agree.
Once you're drunk in public, man, that's where the fists start flying, the words start flying.
And look,
you're famous, it's worse though.
Yeah.
If you're famous, it's 100 times worse to be drunk.
And I know
just
Kevin
because
Smith,
you're way more identifiable.
Kevin Smith is going to back me up on this theory, but if you are famous, switch to weed.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree.
God, there's other downsides to marijuana, but one of them is not throwing around the N-word and acting disruptively.
That. If Jonathan Rhys Meyers was stoned, he would just be like, hey, man.
Hey, how's it going?
How are you? What time's my flight?
He would be asking the lady behind the counter in that VIP lounge if he can get more munchies.
Right. Totally.
Is there any more beer nuts
He's
in this
like,
place?
He's like, hey, bring King Henry some beer nuts, would you? Henry's hungry. Tudor, two doors into the kitchen. Get me some food, would
but
you?
But pounding vodka at 7 in the morning, that's not the call. You're saying that's not the call.
I'm saying
right?
not the call.
All right.
I'm saying I understand drinking in the airport. I understand getting hammered, especially if you're a big superstar and you're handsome and you have your choice of any supermodel on the planet.
Right.
But don't get disruptively drunk in an airport. And also, if this is your fourth stab at rehab and you're 32 years old and you're born and raised in Dublin, you might want to think about giving up the sauce for good.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what rehab is about every time, isn't it?
And never go home.
Never go to Ireland again.
And I'm saying, Jonathan, move to Pasadena, hit a meeting with Steve-O and I. We'll be good.
Okay.
We'll take care of you.
He needs help.
And what about the N-word? What would your advice be with that?
Steer clear of it.
Okay.
Yeah, steer clear of it.
Yeah, that's, you don't ever want to do that.
No,
no.
All right.
The F word, no good excuse. The F word that describes...
Drunk is not a good excuse. Not excuse at all.
No, it isn't.
The derogatory F word that describes gay people... And,
which
and
we used to
use that?
No. And I don't even... And,
no,
you know
just
what?
Putting it in the category.
No,
it's up there.
And I don't even agree with the shortened version of that.
Right. We
the
used to use
one.
It not knowing, but now it seems to have been...
The full version of the directory effort for gay people and the N-word. Never. Just go ahead and never use
just
those, and you'll
those
be better off.
You know where you're safe? Just attack the nearest fat person.
Yeah,
nobody will ever defend the fat person. They'll be like, you're right. He's just grotesque and disgusting. And you'll die alone, embarrassed, thrown off a plane.
And, wow. In closing, I have to say I support United Airlines in their decision to ban Jonathan Rhys Meyers forever for using the N-word, being drunk and disorderly at 7 a.m. I do not support Southwest kicking my friend Kevin Smith off their airplane.
Amen. Fly United.
There you go.
All right, wow, what a beat, man. Like,
yeah, that was a good one.
He got caught in a big, bad way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and but
can you watch him be King Henry after that the whole time?
Yes.
You're thinking, like, King Henry wouldn't use the N-word.
But King Henry would be a drunken fool because he could.
That's true. Maybe he's just in
if
character.
You're king.
Totally.
Yeah, N-word, by the way, least of King Henry, his worries. He was beheading people
totally.
Like, left and right.
That's
you know?
Next for Jonathan Rhys Meyers. You're going to read the next story. It's like he was in an airport, took off. Three chicks' heads.
Yeah.
Thought he would, but he's married to them in a former life. Jonathan, clean up.
No kidding.
All right. So we don't really have time for anything else. The celebrity birthdays, actor Peter Mayhew.
Chewie.
Played Chewbacca.
Oh, I mean, yes, he played the character.
Right. Musician Peter Townsend from The Who, 65 years old today. Grace Jones. Now listen.
Hideous.
No.
Hideous.
Wait, from Conan the Destroyer?
Yeah. The crazy
black and face. From Boomerang
and from A View to a Kill.
Yes.
Okay. And here's where I'm going with this.
Okay.
Back me up.
Yeah.
You may say, "Oh, initially she looks ugly,
right?
And she's not your typical type of beauty." But there's a scene where Roger Moore's waiting in bed because he's James Bond. He knows he's gonna bang her, and she's walking away. She's taking off her clothes, and you get like the back boob side, you know,
mm-hmm.
like side back boobage, and
so
a little,
from behind
and
she's
a little
not
ass
ugly?
Crack.
Uh-huh.
And I'm saying,
all right.
When
that
I was,
and watch, if you watch Boomerang, she plays Strange, and at one point she refers to her woman part in a very sexy way.
That's right.
Yeah. Vagina. Yeah, yes, there it is. Just like that.
Drummer Phil Rudd of AC/DC is 56, and...
I remember his side boob shot was very
sexy
as well.
Yeah, oh, that's true. There's a lot of hot poon in that movie.
Yeah, a lot
Halle
of
Berry,
side
Robin
boob.
Givens.
I think you've touched on it. Side boob is kind of sexy.
It,
it doesn't
it
get
is.
A lot of credit.
Well, no, because look,
yeah,
we're inundated with top boob.
Well, we want
all
nipple.
Day.
We want areola and nipple. Otherwise, we don't feel like
that.
We've seen nudity. But
yeah.
side
and,
boob is pretty
And
amazing.
We can all see the top of Lisa's boob right now
right.
here
well,
at work. And
some
but,
those that look, those of the, I'm a eyes front guy.
Side boob.
He's
right.
a good guy.
I'm saying side boob is reserved.
But it's hard because you show off a lot of cleavage.
On this side of the board, we look all the time.
I'm saying side boob is reserved. For a very special occasion.
Okay.
It's the next
right.
best thing to nip.
I'll give you that. Yeah, yeah,
okay.
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And confirmed pedophile Kevin Garnett of the Boston
he's
Celtics
not,
is 34 years old.
He's not a confirmed pedophile at all.
Yeah.
He just plays
and
for the Celtics
Nazi,
and you hate
anti-Semite,
him.
Anti-Semite Kevin Garnett.
He's not any of those. He's
yeah.
just a Celtic.
Yeah.
And
registered sex offender.
No, you're a Lakers fan. He's a Celtic. He's none of that. He's just a basketball player.
He killed Bruce Lee.
He didn't. None of that happened. None. Zero.
Yeah.
Zero.
He's the Zodiac killer Kevin Garnett.
That's not
34
him.
Years old today.
Not a bit. Not
right.
him.
No. That's the show business.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin Smith, part-time employee here today.
Yes,
I hate to rub it in for those listening at home, but the radio show that happens while you're listening to the song
yeah.
is more interesting, I think, probably.
There's no
illegal.
Question about it.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, you can't talk about having
we would
stuff,
get in
but,
trouble with it. And yeah. people have said, you know, well, you should do is you should put a camera in the studio so people can see while you're during the commercials and songs. And we're like, no, then we
yeah.
would have to change everything we say.
Exactly.
There's
exactly.
no possible way. Yeah, that's the good stuff, unfortunately. But the lawyers do not like the good stuff, even though some of our fans would. Yes, I can.
The day that they came in here to actually assess the studio, to really think to seriously about putting in cameras, about the idea of it, because that was when digital and the website was really
right,
booming.
Emerging.
We were having the Megan Fox corpse conversation. You remember that?
Yes.
And everybody collectively decided, like, you know
yep.
what? It's not a good idea.
Not a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah.
With Mark Hoppus.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Mark
I forgot.
Hoppus.
He was in on it. Yeah.
yeah.
That's right. How long was the decision?
Oh, it varied from guy to guy, but it got up towards of 2 months.
My God, you guys. What's wrong with you?
That's the how long after after death?
Yeah, and
after the pulse stop.
Right, so that's when we decided we shouldn't put that online because then we'll get in trouble.
Totally.
So
2 months though, refrigeration involved.
Well,
I don't think we discussed it quite in that detail. I don't know.
No,
I
mean, okay.
2 months is...
We can't.
Yeah.
We can't.
All we're saying is that rigor mortis sets in everywhere, and that might be of a benefit in certain body parts.
You're going to hell, dude.
He's been going to hell for a long time.
You really are. It's a real slow ride.
You know that, man. Now, are you going to do Love Line with him? Have you done that yet?
I want to, yeah. I told him I wouldn't do it with Dr. Drew, because Dr. Drew went after me. Well, he didn't go after me, but they used him on Entertainment Tonight to talk about me being thrown off the plane for being fat.
Oh, that's right.
They used him like a carnival barker, dude. Oh. I mean, I know he's a friend of yours.
He's a great guy.
They used him like he literally came in to guess my weight. You know what I'm saying? Yes! Because I wouldn't do it. They were like, all these places were calling, going, come on and talk, come out here. And I was like, dude, I don't want to do that. That's gross, like the Octomom. I'm not going out in the world. So instead, they bring in, like, Dr. Drew to literally guess my weight in my absence.
Did they say,
that's so weird.
Somebody want a stuffed animal.
Did they say, no, higher, higher, and then he guess again?
Who knows, dude? I couldn't watch. Yeah, my whole world was falling apart. I'm like, I can't believe even Dr. Drew's in on
that. How about blah, blah, pounds?
Love line.
No, higher, okay, blah, 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 pounds. Oh,
totally.
Shoot.
I was sitting there going, like, if I could phone in, I could win. I know the exact number.
He's such a good guy.
He is.
I know it doesn't seem
really
like that
nice
to you because you had a bad interaction with him.
But. I don't know, but my thing is, I was like, well, why would anyone do that? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, what is the benefit to doing that unless he was paid or promotes himself?
I don't know
the
I don't know the background of that in particular, but I do know that especially with those entertainment kind of clip shows,
right.
What you do in the interview or what you film isn't always what ends up on the screen.
Oh,
I agree completely, but this one, he was completely complicit. It's not like, hey, man, they cut some stuff I said. It was like him going, well, looking at this picture, I said, you know, that's pretty weird. That was weird for me.
That does seem odd.
Yeah. But I would love to be on Love Line, especially he was telling me, like, he had Meatloaf on, last night?
Yeah, last night. Yeah. Meatloaf.
And then you got Peter North coming up next week.
Yeah.
And we can't even talk about
what's happening with Peter North.
It's a show to tune in for.
What night is that?
That might be the show I sit in on just to watch.
Listen, hold on. If you're going to sit in on that night, you're going to have to participate.
Oh, I'd love to have you.
I can't withdraw in a room
gay
full
as it
of dudes.
As gay as it sounds, you're going to have to participate if you're there. That
the gayness doesn't worry me. I'm okay with the gayness. What worries me is the judgment of like, oh my, did you see what the clerk's guy is carrying down there? There is more leg fat than actual organ.
No, you don't see it.
No one will see you when you're doing that.
I thought you were.
No.
We're just going to do our business alone.
We can't.
In the same cup.
Okay. I could go in a different room.
Right. And we're going to bring it all back to the scales of justice.
I might be in for that.
Oh,
yeah.
my God.
Yes!
All right. I would not have bet on that.
That might be the one where my wife is just like, I come home and the bags are on the steps.
Yep.
And she's like, that's it.
Is she leaving or is it your stuff?
I think it's my stuff. She's like, I'm going to stay here in the castle. You get out of here.
Kevin Smith is here. We're going to talk about the live Smodcast that he's got coming up Saturday, June 12th in a second. And we'll be right back on the Kevin. We have Kevin Smith in studio today talking about his live Smodcast that's coming up.
Yeah, man, we're doing it here in town. We took it on the road 2 weeks ago, and we've been airing them on smodcast.com. You can hear them. Generally, you know, the show is a podcast that me and Scott Mosier, my friend, do. Not dissimilar from what you guys do every morning. We just get to do it once a week, only for an hour. So, you know.
It's only an hour?
That's it. We only do about 52 minutes to an hour.
Huh.
So we went out and started doing a bunch of live ones, and a lot of fun, and people got into them. They're very audience interactive and whatnot. So now a lot more dates have been popping up, and they offered us one out here at the Improv on Melrose, which I'm kind of stoked about because I've been a real comedy junkie my whole life, but never considered myself like somebody that could
be on stage
at a place like that. Yeah. Like, I would be the kind of thing I'd go watch somebody. So me and Moj on the 12th, June 12th, we're going to get to do it there.
And you lead with topics and then people get to ask questions? Or is it interactive or you just talk?
We just sit around and talk. And, like, right before the show, we try to figure out what the topic's going to be. Sometimes we pull a few news stories and stuff like that. And then we just kind of go. And the conversation, you know, rolls into if you listen to it, like a classic example of the stuff we do is like, okay, we're on Lost, the island of Lost, and we've been trapped, you
and me. And
right.
Polar bear, black cloud of smoke and whatnot, but no other passengers, just us. How long, Scott, before we start having sex with each other? And then for the next 45 minutes.
Before we start eating.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
what I thought.
Well, it's kind of the same thing.
It can be.
But that's, and then you just go off on the flight of fancy, and they're fun, man. We've done over, I think we're up to episode 117
now.
Oh,
my God.
So we've been doing it for a while. And it's.
Didn't even know.
It's become this kind of fun little side thing that's also kind of produced, you know, the live gigs and whatnot. And, then, and that theater that I bought,
your
remember
new
I was
theater.
Telling you? Yeah, the Smod Castle was all based on doing the live show. I was like, let's get a permanent space so we could do it once a week and whatnot. So we'll be doing a live show from there once the place is up and running every Saturday night.
How long will that take? Oh, you'll do it every Saturday night.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. I think every Saturday night we could kind of do that. And then we'll do a regular Smodcast like we do normally on Sunday. But I don't know. I think by the time we get Smod Castle open, I think it'll be July. So this June show at the Improv is the chance to see us here in Los Angeles.
Saturday, June 12th, you can get tickets at viewsq.com or improv.com. You can buy tickets either place.
Totally.
So are you
just
keeping
to
up?
See if you want to, if you're even interested in it, go to smodcast.com and listen to any one of the three live ones that are up now. They're pretty fun.
Are you keeping up with Lost? You mentioned that show.
I watched the first two episodes, but I have fallen off, not because I'm like, I don't like it. I'm just waiting to watch it all in one sitting.
Oh, you are?
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
a good idea.
Yeah.
But then when you get up to like Sunday.
Well, the problem is
the series finale. Now people are going to talk about that, and that's
right?
going to come.
But I'm not in grade school anymore. I'm not my daughter, so I don't feel the peer pressure to come in and talk about it the next day.
No, no,
don't
I understand
you stand
that.
I know you guys have
cooler?
To because you guys, that's what you
that's
do.
That's kind of our deal, yeah.
Totally.
But
me, I'm like, I'll see it 6 months from now and catch up with it if I have to, and when the hype has kind of died down and whatnot. But not because I'm like, I don't like it, just because... you know, there's been no time, and I like to watch them, and I'm spoiled by DVD.
Me too.
You can't just like, it's tough to tune. A show has to be mind-bendingly appealing to me personally.
Yeah.
And I love Lost. Lost is very creative, but it's not a real personal journey for me, so to speak.
Right.
The shows that are personal journeys for you, those are the ones you kind of tune in regularly
There's
for.
There's one,
really
24 this season is one that I will let, I'll let 3 weeks catch
up. Build up and then catch
and
up.
And then I can watch three in a row, and it's awesome.
Totally.
Really
I've been trying
that.
To train my kid to do that with Glee, but she's of that age where it's like her currency. Like last night we went out to eat and she had to get back, you know, for the start of the show. And it's like 2 minutes after nine. And she's just like, what am I going to stay in school tomorrow when they ask me what happened in the beginning? And I'm like, did they test you on this kind of thing? But that's in the kid world. That's their currency. Like
right.
We saw it and I don't have that. I don't need that anymore.
No,
like,
but where are you going to be on Saturday night?
For, oh, well.
This Saturday night, where are you going to be?
Well, I mean, ironically, it's tied into Lost. I was going to be at the UCB Theater. They're doing a kind of Lost show at night there to celebrate the end of the show.
Right.
But then my wife the other day was just like, oh, you're not doing that. I said, sure I am. She's like, no, no, you got to go to the Glee concert. And I said, what? Glee? What? And she was telling me about the live Glee thing. I said, I have vague memories of this, but I remember trying to get tickets and it didn't pan out. And she's like, well, her friend Stella has extra tickets, so now you're going to go.
So you and your
I'll
daughter are going to go?
I'll see you there.
Ultimate daddy-daughter date. You going as well?
You're going.
I'm going because my kids want to go.
And you would kind of like the show, too.
Yeah. But I would never go to the show. Like,
without this.
I kind of like the TV show, yes, but I wouldn't go to the live show.
But you're going because of the girl.
Yeah. But Lisa doesn't have
no,
any.
I have like 10 friends who are
going
with me.
You're going because you are a girl. Totally.
No, there's...
Are you going to be singing along? There's one guy.
There's one gay guy, and then my boyfriend,
really?
Who's just because he's sweet.
No! No! Because he's sweet and...
Because he's sweet, because he doesn't
he
really care about
men?
The show.
Yeah!
No, he doesn't.
Is that
he
what
doesn't.
He's sweet?
Did
I
you pay,
how
much did you pay for your tickets?
Like $100.
These tickets are
crazy, right?
It's
yeah.
insane,
it's really
man.
Expensive.
Like, you could pay upwards of $1,000 for these tickets
And you know
right
the kid in the wheelchair? Not crippled. You know that?
Is that... He's only acting? He's,
yes.
Son of a...
He's not crippled.
He really...
The homosexual is right.
All right. Kevin Smith is here again. If you want to see the Smodcast live, it's going to be Saturday, June 12th.
It's a long time from now. I don't even know why I'm talking about this early. But yeah, come on out. It'll be a good time, man.
Buy tickets early. That's why.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, you
I don't know.
Ahead.
You tell
People
me. You're
got a plan.
I just...
just
honestly,
I'm
I
trying
only
to toss out ideas.
I only book gigs now just so I have a reason to come in here.
All right.
I'm
a reason.
Just so like shameful. Be like, can I come in? They're like, what are you promoting? I'm like, well, nothing. It's just Tuesday.
You can promote that it's Tuesday.
All right, we'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and Ralph Garman is on vacation today. So we're taking a look at the Showbiz Beat. I don't know if you saw this story about Megan Fox.
Yeah.
She tells Lure Magazine that she suffers from obsessive compulsive disorder.
I mean, she likes to eat a lot?
Nope.
You mean she likes to have sex a lot?
Nope. I wish. I wish
But
she'd
wouldn't
like...
that count, part of the OCD?
Maybe. Here are the two things that she says, though, and one of them I can understand, which is She doesn't like the idea of public restrooms with the germs.
Yeah, I mean, everybody.
Okay, everybody, right?
Yeah, you don't lick the toilet in public. We know that.
Right. She also refuses to eat off of restaurant silverware.
That's a kind of, that's picky.
So she, okay,
right?
Here's the.
You could bring your own, though. Bring your own utensils.
Right, but isn't that a little odd?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
You're bringing your own utensils?
Every once in a while you get a knife. I can't believe, I'm just defending her because she's pretty. Yeah, it's weird. This is weird. Yeah, why would you do that? You know, you got to assume they're cleaning it properly back there.
They're not.
Because if you're willing to eat off the plate,
right?
Why are you going? You got to bring a plate. If you're going to bring
a
fork, then you got to bring a plate as well.
And who knows about the food?
That's the problem.
Yeah, and the food, too. Yeah.
That's the problem with going down the germ road. Right. Once you start going down the germ road, you don't want to eat anything,
totally.
Do anything, touch anyone, shake hands.
You become like that movie. What was Safe? Do you ever see that movie with Julianne Moore and she wrapped up in head to toe in a skin tight bodysuit?
Nope.
That's what you want.
She was a germaphobe. Ooh, it's terrifying.
Yeah, that seems like a bad road to go down. Yes, Mike.
She must not eat with home silverware then either. She must use disposable silver all the time because your home dishwasher, nowhere near as hot a water or as powerful as the industrial size ones they have at a restaurant.
Yeah, but she doesn't necessarily know that. She probably brings her own. You think she brings plastic? In a bag?
I just think as
my point
as
being
a hot
is that
young
if you
woman in
if,
Hollywood, I can't imagine that a spoon or a fork at a restaurant's the dirtiest thing she's had in her mouth. You know what I'm saying? Like, really? You can defend against the cutlery at the Ivy? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You're exactly right. My point is that why are you scared of the restaurant silverware? That's probably cleaner than anything you could have at home. And they got these massive industrial power dishwashers that have super hot water.
Cleaner than the human mouth.
Maybe she goes to like KFC and just gets like 50 packages of those little
sporks. Yeah.
Or maybe that's the restaurant she's talking about.
And maybe.
Like, when I go out to eat at KFC, I don't like to use their cutlery.
No, those are clean.
Yeah, they're in a bag.
They're in a bag. You have to open them. Lindsay Lohan is supposed to be in court tomorrow, and she's at the Cannes Film Festival. Now, the first story that came out was the...
How is this chick not in jail, man?
I don't know. I can't imagine that she won't be this time, although it does seem like with overcrowding, this is what happens, is they put her in jail for show, and then an hour later they let her out.
That's
That's what it seems like.
Yeah, that's usually
but
what happens.
It doesn't even sound like she's getting that much.
Well, we don't know yet. We don't know yet.
So what's the deal? She's supposed to be in court
tomorrow.
Now, tomorrow.
Tomorrow at 9 a.m. Okay.
And
she's in Cannes at the film festival.
Okay.
So
she's in the business, presumably. You can say to the judge, hey, I work in the movie business. The judge would be like, you ain't worked in the movie business in
right,
a long time,
I don't
LL.
Think, but the judge doesn't care about that.
Right.
Already the judge is pissed. I think it's the same judge that's had. Her name is Marcia Revel, Judge Marcia Revel, and she seems to be kind of fed up with Lindsay.
Because she feels like she's being made to look foolish
right.
by this actress.
So first it was the volcano in Iceland that was spewing the dirt up in the air so they couldn't fly back. Now, the latest one, according to TMZ, is that she claims somebody stole her passport.
Mm. Oh, come on, Lindsay.
She actually went to the airport yesterday.
Wait a second. Oh. I've been to the Cannes Film Festival many times, and oh, no, I came back with my passport each time. I don't know what her excuse is. How do you lose your passport?
She travels all over the world all the time with money. I don't
abroad.
Know where she gets it.
That's the one place in the world you want to hold on to it with a death grip.
And doesn't
overseas.
And she seems to have managed all these years.
And doesn't she have an assistant or
I'm
somebody
sure.
that goes with her?
Is
I'm
she a smoker?
Sure.
Does anybody know?
Don't
I
know.
Guarantee
she
you she
probably.
Would know where her cigarettes are.
She's
how do you
everything
not know
are.
Where your passport
she's
is?
She's claiming that she actually went to the airport yesterday and tried to get on the flight without the passport, but they wouldn't let her on.
That's what my question about that is, why wouldn't they let her on? She's recognizable.
You
yeah,
have to follow the regulations.
That's right.
So.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not saying like give her special treatment because she's famous, but the idea of the passport is like, prove your identity to me. And I mean, this wreck comes up to your plane. You're like, well, I know who you are,
yeah,
ma'am.
Yeah, that's true.
Listen, get out of here.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
People.com says that she has also only attended 17 of the 26 Alcoholics Anonymous meetings that the judge told her to. So she hasn't even finished what the judge told her to do yet.
17 out of 26, that's a pretty good season, though, man.
Not for a judge.
No.
Judges don't like that.
Yeah.
So apparently she has an appointment at the U.S. Embassy tomorrow so that she can get a passport so that she can fly back.
This has gone international.
The court judge, Marcia Revel, has said that if she's not there at 8:30 in the morning, she's going to issue a warrant for her arrest.
Yeah. A bench warrant?
Yes.
And then so that when she hits the tarmac in the good old U.S. of A,
hands behind
she
your
gets
back.
Cuffed, really?
How about that?
Wow.
Good times, right?
This chick was in Herbie, man. What happened? She was so cute.
I know.
And a good actress.
And by the way,
I thought
a good
stand
actress
by
too. I agree.
This chick is a good actress.
What was that? What was that other one? Mean Girls.
Mean Girls.
Something like she was good in that.
She was in The Parent Trap. She was in. Yeah. She's been. She was in the movie where she played a stripper. Had a weird name to the movie. She wasn't that good. Well,
yeah,
I mean, I didn't see it. I can't even say. But the other movie, she was very good in. I always thought she was very talented.
What would you say if I told you know who Justin Bieber is?
Yes. I got a daughter. Yeah, look at him. He's Canadian, right?
How old is he, like 13, 14?
Yeah, he's a child.
12?
Yeah.
9?
He's a little girl, very talented little girl.
He is up for an award. He's up against Young Money, Whale, Melanie Fiona, and Nicki Minaj.
They're good.
For Best New Artist.
Where?
At the BET Awards.
What?
Correct me if I'm wrong. He's a little white kid, right?
BET Award. Little white kid, yes.
Interesting.
And BET, of course, does stand for Black Entertainment Television.
And has that ever happened before?
He's up for Best New Artist. I don't know.
Have they ever nominated somebody who's not the B in BET for that award?
I don't know.
No idea.
That kid's got reach, man, and influence.
But doesn't that seem weird to you? I mean...
If I'm BET and I'm like, I want people to tune in, guess what? I'm going to nominate the little kid that the whole world loves right now.
I guess, but he's not B.
Yeah. but he's very E.T.
But he's
he is E.T. That's true.
He's good for E.T., but yeah, he's not very B. But maybe he sings a little B. Maybe he's got a B-ish
maybe he has
tone
a
to him.
B-tone voice.
Okay. He's on the B side.
One of his biggest hits features Ludacris.
Oh, all right.
So I don't know it.
Well, he's got street cred.
Yeah, but you can't just rope him into these awards because he has a black artist on one
because
of his songs.
Because Ludacris raps on one song.
Yeah,
anyway,
he was discovered and signed by Usher. I don't know. I mean, he is in the world.
That's true, yeah.
He's in the B world.
Yeah.
And he may have a B voice, but he isn't B.
No,
but
he's
then,
not B.
I mean, then you give Fergie Black Entertainment Awards because she acts B.
Yeah.
And works with B.
If you're acting B and working B, then,
right.
then B,
B
you are. Yeah, you're B. But this guy, so I guess it works for Bieber, too.
Jay-Z leads the pack with 5 nominations. Beyonce has 4. Bieber only has 1, but Best New Artist.
Yeah, but come on. That's like being like, you know, the dog beat me at chess. You know, only one time. I beat it 9 other times. I mean, that's, for this kid to wind up getting a BET nomination, tantamount to like... Tom Cruise descending from the ceiling in Mission Impossible, trying to steal whatever he was looking
for.
That
was pretty cool.
Yeah,
you're right. You're right. Well, we'll have
Bieber,
to,
E.T.
We'll
Bieber
have to do some research and see if he, if anyone else has ever been nominated that's
do you
not
think
me.
This kid? How old is this kid?
Really, I think he's 14 or 15.
Do you think he's active yet?
Yeah.
He must get so many girls.
16, I'm hearing in my headset now. So,
really?
Yeah.
He's 16 years old?
Yes.
Oh, he's... Oh.
Yes.
Could you imagine
he's
being
16
years old... The entire world loves you,
yes.
Except dudes who hate you because
right.
the chicks all love
but
you.
But who cares?
You've just got nominated for a BET award. I mean, what, is there anything the kid can do? That
well,
kid,
I'll tell you what this kid is doing is peaking.
You think so?
Well, it's certainly all downhill from here.
I mean, really?
No.
Oh, are you kidding?
Doesn't it just get better until he dies?
Wow.
I don't know.
It's going to be ugly, man.
We'll
he's going to be 17, and he's going to be trying to have a follow-up.
He
and,
should be talking to, like, the Donny Osmonds of the world. And
all the people that came before.
Yeah, all those cats who've walked this road, man.
Yeah, this is it for him. BET, this is the top of his...
You think so?
Of his career.
The mountain? He's
downhill
like, I've reached it, and I'm 16. He's like Alexander, man. He's like, nothing left to conquer. I'm going to weep. 16, man.
Isn't that crazy? BET Awards. Birthdays today, actor Peter Mayhew. Chewbacca in Star Wars is 66.
Mm, the big gay monkey from the Star Wars movies.
It's funny because I was talking about how I've never met him before. And our producer Alex reminded me that we had him in the studio.
And he's a hard dude to forget. He's
not
tall.
Even on the phone, in the studio. How about that? Musician Pete Townsend, 65. The drummer for AC/DC is 56, Phil Rudd.
Woo!
Boston Celtic forward Kevin Garnett is 34. And UFC welterweight champion George St. Pierre is 29 years old. You watch the UFC?
No, not religiously, but every once in a while if I'm clicking around and I see two men with cauliflower ears beating on one another, I'll stop.
And then when they start wrestling?
Then I'm like, it's
a little
on.
Gay.
It's still weird. I'm just not a fighter person. I can't imagine hitting somebody like that. And these dudes just do it religiously.
Yeah, they love it.
Yeah, they like hitting
I
each
like
other.
It too.
And
it's
they're good at it.
Fun
they
to
scare
watch.
Me. Alpha males scare me. I could barely hang in with Mike. they scare me. Because you never know. At any given moment, they're going, bend over, I'm taking you. And you're like, what? I thought we were friends.
Joe Rogan, of course, is the announcer for the UFC. And he says every time he gets in there, he's like, this dude could do anything he wants to me.
Yeah, no doubt.
And his joke is, please don't rape me. That's his joke. He's like, he's talking to these guys going, hey, you had a great fight.
That's like going into a lion cage or a shark tank, man.
Yes.
It's like, you got to be very, very careful.
Yeah, it's not because you can
accidentally offend somebody, not even mean it, and then get your head
and
torn
just get
off.
Choked out.
Yeah, choked out.
That's the showbiz beat. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, we have an all-new program. We have Jay Moore in studio.
Yeah. Wow, I love Jay Moore. He's so funny.
The best. We're going to talk about the best worst movie ever.
Ooh.
This is a documentary. Have you heard about this,
no.
Kevin? About which movie?
Troll 2.
Troll 2. Which supposedly
and the doc,
is...
They made a whole doc about
Troll 2. About how that is the best worst movie ever. It's supposedly so bad that it comes
I've
back around.
I've seen clips from it online. Yeah. Troll 2,
right? Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb have agreed it is the worst movie ever. It got like a 0% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes. So the kid who actually started the little boy in this movie, Troll 2, has grown up and now made this documentary.
Made a doc about it?
Yeah.
This makes me happy for two reasons. Number one, I know that doc's going to be interesting. Number two, if they've picked the world's worst movie, I'm in the clear.
You're in the clear for that one?
Thank God. I was sweating it for 2 weeks there. I was like, please don't let it be Mallrats. Please don't let it be Jersey Girl. Thankfully, it was Troll 2.
Yeah, you won in that particular case.
Thank God.
Dr. Drew tomorrow morning, as it is Thursday, and we talk to Dr. Drew every Thursday, and I believe we're going to have to bring up something to him called butt chugging. So that's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Kat is up next. Oh, by the way, thank you, Kevin Smith, for coming in today.
No worries, man.
Totally appreciate it.
Okay, by my watch, it's margarita o'clock.
All right, Kat, take it easy. Kat has 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock. She has a new song from Hole called Pacific Coast Highway. She's got Bad Religion. She's got Social D, Slightly Stupid, and Alien Ant Farm. It's all coming up as part of 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock night.